weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
The following is a best of the Wake Up Call, heard right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. Last hour, we spent talking to two doctors who broke it down, if you will. Broke down the specifics of deadly immunities. We had two doctors that talked about that autism is something that, for all practical purposes, did not exist in the United States. For all practical purposes. And we're now at an epidemic place of autism. We are now at an epidemic place, with the numbers of autistic children that we have. 500,000 children currently suffer from autism. Pediatricians diagnose more than 40,000 new cases every year. The disease was virtually unknown until 1943. And it was diagnosed amongst 11 children born in the month after thimerosal was first added to baby vaccines in 1931. It is no secret about the dangers of thimerosal. It is no secret that this is a dangerous, dangerous component to the vaccines. The doctors told us that. The information is out there. But we need to talk to a person, a woman, a mother, a reverend, about what it is like living with the fact that your child has autism and something that you were told that you had to give your child to make him better, caused it, and that the government knew. This morning, joining us on the wake-up call, we have Reverend Lisa Sykes joining us from Richmond, Virginia. Reverend, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am well, thank you.
Reverend, tell us about Wesley.
Well, Wesley is a 9-year-old little boy with bright blue eyes and making startling progress, especially in the last 7 months, despite a diagnosis of autism / mercury toxicity.
What was Wesley like before he received the vaccine?
Well, when he was born, he was enchanting. 9 pounds, 2 ounces. I tried to do everything I could to make sure he was as healthy and as safe as possible, even natural childbirth. He developed very normally for a year and a bit, probably about a year and a half. And then we started to notice that his language wasn't progressing. And then there was this terrifying moment when we came to the realization, my husband and I, that he was actually losing his language. He began to want not to eat. He began to get fascinated by strange things like mulch. And slowly, he slipped away from us. And we felt absolutely powerless to do anything to stop this process because we didn't understand it.
How did you come to make the connection between the vaccine and what was happening to Wesley?
Well, I like to say that God has given me great blessings. Wesley was diagnosed, and I was told it was an odd neurological genetic disorder. And 3 months after he was diagnosed here in Richmond, Virginia, a brilliant research physician here in the area made a discovery that these children were vitamin A deficient. And I heard about what she suggested for a first step in treatment, which was giving them fat-soluble vitamin A through cod liver oil, like maybe your grandmother gave to you. And I started Wesley on it, and all of a sudden, for the first time, something seemed a little bit better. This child had stopped responding to my voice. Suddenly, when I called, his name looked at me, and I thought, what does this physician know? And I called her. She didn't know who I was. And she did a very thorough medical history of my family over the phone. And she said, I want you in my new office as soon as I get settled, and we're going to run these tests on your child. And in the course of the next year, she came to the point of suggesting to me that my son was toxic. And one of the things you never want to hear as a parent is that your child has been poisoned and you were unwitting to that fact. And so we did a challenge test, which is what the medical establishment calls it, to see if we could pull any metal out of my child. And so I got the lab result back on Wesley. And we did this, I've got the date here, November the 8th, 2000. And there's the word mercury, and there are 3 columns, reference range, elevated, very elevated, and the page stops there. And the line by the word mercury runs through the reference range. It runs through the elevated column. It runs through the very elevated column, and it runs off the page.
How did you feel when you saw that?
Oh, I wept. I broke down and I cried. I thought poisoning was something that happened to the czars in Russia 100 years ago. I had no idea someone had been putting poison into my child.
So then what did your doctor tell you?
Well, my research physician said, we're going to treat Wesley, and we're going to pull the mercury out, and we can do this.
And how old was Wesley at this time?
He was not even 4, and he was industrially poisoned. That was the level we're talking about.
Mm.
My regular pediatrician, when he saw this lab, wouldn't speak to me and called up the research physician and screamed at her because of the liability that this test intimated.
Not because they discovered what was wrong with Wesley.
No.
He was concerned about his liability.
Absolutely. And that is an issue because many very good people who have gone into pediatrics as treating physicians didn't know they were giving children in the 80s, the 90s, the early 2000s, and, you know, in the flu shot still today, mercury, which is a known neurotoxin. And there's a real issue here of informed consent and appropriate research into the medical or the medicines that you're administering to your patients. And so a lot of physicians are paralyzed by this issue.
But it's just fascinating to see I understand being paralyzed.
Right.
I understand being scared. I understand being concerned. But I don't understand why you would call up the person that exposed it and yell at them. What is your criticism of them?
Well, and you've got to understand the researchers like Mark and David Geyer, who were just on your show and are treating my son, by the way, and the treating physician here in Richmond, who's a research physician, and the world-class people who are doing this work are doing it against the establishment that doesn't want the ordinary parent to know what's happened to their child. You know, to speak the truth can be a very liberating thing, but it can also bring a lot of redress and new evaluation of past action. And the entire medical establishment, from our local pediatricians all the way up to our Food and Drug Administration, are fearful of this information. And so the brave researchers who are doing this work do it at the stake of their own credibility, their own acceptance, and their own professions. It's tremendous what these individuals who are treating the children appropriately and speaking truly their diagnosis, what they're willing to risk for the sake of getting the children better. And I think your audience really needs to know that.
And let me ask you this, Reverend.
Yes.
What did you think of the possibility? Had you ever considered that the possibility that something like this could ever happen in this country? Were you surprised when you found out how far people have gone to keep the truth from us?
I was aghast, Liz, aghast, because you may know from some of the publications out about me, I'm the daughter of two employees of the Central Intelligence Agency.
The CIA, that's right.
I was raised to be very proud of my government and to trust it. And so that this should happen in my lifetime to my child left me stunned. But then I had to go back as a preacher and as a minister and say human systems are very fallible and they tend toward the wrong instead of the right. And I think there's a parallel here in some ways with civil rights, where the federal government was violating the civil rights of an entire group of citizens. And the laws were set so that that happened. Well, here we are, half a century later, right? And it's not against a group ethnically that we're discriminating. It's against an age group. And it's not civil rights this time. It's constitutional rights. And this is in every way, I think, equal to the violation of rights that happened with civil rights in this nation in the mid-1900s. We're back again to a struggle for American liberty and rights again, that's equal to that one.
And when we look at the numbers of children that are impacted by this, how many children are we talking about, Reverend?
The numbers vary. I know you have used the statistic on your show today, 500,000 with autism. Some people push that up 2 to 3 times that many. And then what else I need to tell you is that we also think this is not just autism. The strange disorder called ADD and ADHD that nobody had heard of when I was growing up and that now is everywhere, that's likely connected to mercury exposure as well. And there are a number of other neurological issues in our children today that didn't used to be there.
And I guess for me, Reverend, as I'm listening to you talk, the thing that is just amazing to think about, we are supposed to be at a place where we are moving forward medically, that we are creating new ways to address old illnesses. And here we are in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s creating illnesses.
Yeah, I think it's almost better to say we've manufactured them. And the reason I choose that word is that I thoroughly believe the reason our safeguards have failed. I don't mean one safeguard. I mean, those who should have been watching at the CDC, those who should have been watching at the FDA, those who should have been watching at HHS and the Office of the Inspector General on HHS, those from the American Academy of Pediatrics and the American Medical Association, who all should have been watching what happened. I think you have to go back and look at the power of money to corrupt. I'm going to sound like a preacher here. You know, this is biblical.
Well, that's okay, because you are.
I am. That's right. Why have all of these agencies, all of these organizations failed our children and let inordinate amounts of mercury in excess of EPA safety guidelines become standard, mandated, and required for injection into our children? It's because of a gross conflict of interest in our government agencies that have oversight over the pharmaceutical industry and the amount of money that is in the pharmaceutical industry to be made.
And part of the mercury that Wesley has in his system came from you, too.
You're going to make me cry. That's right.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. I didn't know when I was at 28 weeks gestation with Wesley when I was pregnant and got a Rogam shot because our blood factors were mismatched. I was Rh negative. That the shot they administered to me had a high level of mercury in it. So he got it in utero. It crosses the placenta. It lodges in the fetus. Some people believe the fetus draws this metal. It lodges in the brain, which is just at the peak of its development in utero. And then if the mother gets another Rogam at delivery, guess what? If she breastfeeds, the breast milk is poisoned. That's a profanity. I don't know any other word for it.
It's a profanity because they knew.
They knew. And none of us did. We parents who love and care for our children had no informed consent, and that's guaranteed by the Constitution of this nation.
And I was telling Dr. Geyer when he was on in the last hour,
right,
that when I do a Google search on this issue,
right,
the very first things that pop up is they call it quack science and quackery, that anybody would challenge that this issue that vaccines don't cause autism.
Right. And you know what? There's this bait and switch that goes on by the powers that be in this nation right now. We parents are screaming that we're anti-mercury.
Mm.
We're not anti-vaccine. The reason Wesley is autistic is because I was pro-vaccine and got him every required shot, not knowing there was mercury in it. We are not anti-vaccine. We are anti-mercury. And the only way that they can dismiss us is to change our argument incorrectly. And they do that, and they do it all the time. And thank goodness, finally, some journalists and reporters are coming around to our side. And not only journalists and reporters, you know, we've got the U.S. Office of Special Counsel having released a press release that comes out on our side. I don't think many people know about that.
And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. I'm talking to Reverend Lisa Sykes. She is joining us from Richmond, Virginia. We're talking about autism. We're talking about mercury poisoning. We're talking about what our government knew and when they knew it and why they didn't tell us. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We're going to take a break. Please stay with us. We'll be back. Our number here is 1-877-920-WGNU or 314-454-0400. Stay with us.
The following has been a rebroadcast of the Wake Up Call. It's the best of the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown will be back in the studio live on Monday. Until then, enjoy more of the best of the Wake Up Call following these messages. Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Eastbound 70 at Mid Rivers Mall, no problems to report. Eastbound 44 between 109 and Lindbergh, everything's on the move. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge all the way into Lehman Ferry looks good. Southbound 270 at Manchester, no problems there. Westbound 370 at St. Louis Mills Parkway, that mall parking lot is starting to stack up, but there's no problem. Westbound 370 between 270 and Elm. Look for road maintenance operations having various lanes closed in both directions. Route 367 at 270 and Jamestown. That traffic has been switched to the outer road so they can convert 367 into an uninterrupted freeway. Route 30 at Summit and Bridge. Look for bridge maintenance operations going on there. The left lane will be closed. Bermuda north of 70. They're widening the roadway there, so there'll be restrictions as well as on northbound Keeneland at Natural Bridge. They're widening that to four lanes. Old Halls Ferry between Dunn Road and Whisper Lake. Crews are widening that roadway as well in both directions. Illinois 143 between 67 and Route 3. There's paving operations going on. Eastbound 70 at Route B, look for construction that will be reduced to one lane. And 64 between Highway 50 and Route 158 over on the east side, there's road construction going on. Various lanes will be closed throughout the day. That's a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Start your day with a warm McGriddle sandwich and a great cup of coffee. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. For today, partly cloudy skies, high in the lower 40s this evening, not quite as cool, partly cloudy with a low to mid-30s. Saturday, breezy, not as cool, cloudy, chance of rain in the afternoon with a high in the mid-50s. Saturday evening, breezy, not quite as cool, showers are likely to continue with a low in the upper 40s. And on Sunday, breezy, mostly cloudy, another chance for showers with a high in the mid-60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under clear skies, we have 21 degrees. Lambert Fields experiencing 19 degrees out at the airport, but the wind chill makes it feel like it's 13. Stay tuned for more of the best of the wake-up call. Liz Brown will be live in the studio back on Monday morning. But until then, enjoy more of the best of right here on AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour.
The Curtains Up Theater Company presents A Christmas Story at the Alton Little Theater Auditorium, 2450 Henry Street in Alton, Illinois. Performances will be on Friday, November 25th through Sunday the 27th at 8 o'clock each night, with an additional 2 o'clock production on Sunday. Tickets are $10 for adults and $8 for seniors and students. Tickets may be reserved by calling 618-692-9934. For more info, visit curtainsuptheater.com. Something for you from WGNU.
Know the greatest phrase ever invented in shopping? No, it's not "I'll just wait in the car." The greatest phrase is "No thanks, I'm just looking." I mean, what freedom, what liberation. What a great way to buy car insurance. In fact, why not do some looking right now? Go to geico.com. It's quick, it's easy, and you could save hundreds. You know, saving money looks good on you. geico.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? It's the day after Thanksgiving, and you know what that means. The biggest sales day of the year. That's right, from 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. at Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. Wonderful sales going on. The first 25 customers get a $10 off gift card. 20-inch Sylvania flat-screen televisions, $89.99. Portable DVD players, $89.99. 51-inch Toshiba high-definition television sets, $899.99. 20% off of all regular price Kenmore appliances. That and so much, much, much more. You don't have to take out a bank loan to fill up your tank and go to the mall to check out a Sears right here in your neighborhood, in your community. Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. Sears, get your shop on.
We'll return to more of the best of the wake-up call. Liz Brown is on vacation today, so until then, enjoy the best of right here on AM 920 WGNU. Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
There was something within me, Lord, that I can't explain. All I know, I thank my God I've got something.
Oh, welcome back. Welcome back. Something Within Me. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And I am talking to, oh, and don't forget that we are archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. So if you missed an hour, you can go get an hour at whiterosesociety.org. And we broadcast live from Xenia to Zimbabwe on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. I am talking this morning, this is the second hour of our discussion about autism and vaccines and mercury and what our government knew and what they didn't tell us. And I'm talking this hour to Reverend Lisa Sykes. She is joining us from Richmond, Virginia. Reverend, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz.
One of the things that you were talking about early on when you were talking about Wesley, your son, mm-hmm. that you are treating him. Tell us about that.
Well, it's absolutely astonishing and a great gift. Because I know Mark and David Geyer and have worked with them on advocacy projects, when they made their breakthrough and came to a great understanding of the relationship between mercury and testosterone, my son Wesley benefited by being the first child they picked to treat. And so he is the first in the world to be on the Geyer protocol. And the changes we have seen in him the last 7 months are astonishing.
What is it? Food? Is it vitamin? Is it, what kind of protocol is it?
Let me see if I can just lay out a little bit of it for you, Liz. One thing we know is that we lose 4 boys to every 1 girl in the cases of autism. There's a different ratio. And that right there probably a long time ago should have told all of us that the hormone is involved. Mm. And everybody knew that testosterone made mercury more toxic. Boyd Haley had demonstrated that very clearly. But we didn't know the actual mechanics of it. Well, Mark and David started doing their research, and they've probably told you much of that this morning.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is what they realized is that the mercury and the testosterone bind together molecularly into these very long structures. And once these two substances bind, it's very hard to get rid of either one of them. They're just trapped in the child's body. And so our goal is to pull out this poison that was put into my child. You do that with a process called chelation. But the trouble is we had been chelating Wesley since he was very young, and we got that reading before he was 4. And we thought we'd gotten out all the metal. We chelated him for 1.5 years, and we didn't see any more metals on his lab test. Well, once the Geyers broke this theory, they said, Lisa, that's because you couldn't get the rest of them out. They were stuck too tight with the testosterone. They said, we're going to lower the testosterone, and you're going to see the metals coming back out. And sure enough, Liz, we have used a known medication for children with high testosterone. The actual diagnosis is precocious puberty. Wesley had too much testosterone for his age. It was at the top of the chart. And so that qualified him for a different diagnosis, quite apart from autism, recognized and accepted medically with a standard protocol. So knowing he had high testosterone, we lowered it, and then we came back in with the chelation. And all of a sudden, guess what? We started pulling metals out again. And this time, pulling the metals, not only did we see the bad symptoms go away as we had the first time we chelated Wesley. You know, some of the hand biting, some of the inability to sit still and even function. He had improved in that back at 4 and 5 and 6, but we never got the improvements we wanted in cognition. Well, suddenly we lower the testosterone, we start treating, and not only are we getting more metal out again, but we're seeing his cognitive abilities improve measurably. And what we think, the hypothesis is, we're finally getting at mercury in this child's brain that we couldn't pull before.
Mm.
We had to break down these long molecules in order to get them to cross the blood-brain barrier. And that's just hypothetical, but that's one understanding of what's going on. There's no doubt that my son is getting better from a amorphous condition called autism that I was told he wouldn't recover from. But now we're treating it as mercury toxicity. And with the Geyer's insight, their brilliant discovery, my son is writing his name.
Mm.
He's counting. He's coming up and he's giving me hugs. The day he gets the med to lower the testosterone, within 2 hours, you can see the difference.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing, but it's also heartbreaking to think of that Wesley is getting this, and Wesley is so blessed.
Yes.
And then you think of all of the other babies out there that will never get this.
And Liz, I got to bring this up to you because I do with everyone. Not only do we need to stop giving the mercury, stop injuring the American kids, and slowly we're phasing it out in this country, but there's been no attempt made to lower the mercury content in the vaccines going to the developing countries around the world.
Absolutely.
Now, if American kids are almost never going to get this treatment for the cost, right? What chance do the kids in the third world have of getting this treatment that's expensive and in many cases has to be kept at a certain room temperature? And we're still injuring those children en masse.
And we are unapologetic about it.
Oh.
I mean, when we bring it to countries, and I don't even like to call them third world, that we bring them, we take them to other countries and we
right.
say, this is our gift we give
right.
to you, and we're killing them.
Yeah, we give it in beneficence.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most dangerous thing in this world is evil that doesn't appear to be.
Mm.
And that's what we're talking about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me get to a caller or two
Surely.
Here. Yes, ma'am. You have a question for Reverend Sykes.
Yes, I have a slight comment. My heart goes out to the children who are unfortunate pawns in this game that the government plays.
Yes.
As well as mercury, we know that fluoride also is a poison that is forced upon you when you go to the dentist.
That's
when
right.
they allow you to get fillings in your tooth, it is filled with mercury.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they keep it submerged in water, and if any of their staff is pregnant, they can't even handle this part.
You're absolutely right.
Yes, and I stopped letting my children receive vaccinations. I have a 15-year-old and an 8-year-old,
uh-huh.
and he only received 2 vaccination shots. I happened to be reading and came across some interesting information, and I started, you know, researching and doing this research. I was blessed have
yeah.
done it. My daughter never been vaccinated, and
oh.
I'm not just going to say I'm against vaccinations, but I know it's more than just mercury inside
right.
of the vaccinations that they give our children, and this government is not truthful and not forthcoming with any information because, like the Reverend said, it's too much money, and they are just too unethical when it comes to their money.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Thank
We're going to take a quick break. I'm talking to Reverend Lisa Sykes. And Reverend, when we come back, I'd like to talk about the Coalition for Mercury-Free Drugs.
I'd be happy to.
Okay. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake-Up Call. Please stay with us.
Liz Brown is on vacation today. She will be back in the studio live on Monday. Until then, enjoy more of the best of The Wake-Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger with a personal invitation for you to join me from 2 to 4 every Monday through Friday afternoon on WGNU. It is so great to be back in the St. Louis area, and I'm looking forward to talking with you here at Radio Free St. Louis about your personal, work, and family problems and issues. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA, that's 1-800-DR-LAURA, and let's take on the day. Join me, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, 2 to 4, Monday through Friday afternoons on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Kuwait City. The Al Jazeera TV network is demanding confirmation or denial of a report earlier this week that President Bush wanted to bomb the network's headquarters in Qatar. But he was talked out of that action by British Prime Minister Tony Blair. The White House says the story is so outrageous that it will not dignify it with a reply. But Al Jazeera is urging Britain to either confirm or deny it. Al Jazeera says that its facilities in Afghanistan and Iraq have been hit by U.S. bombs during combat, and now this new report casts serious doubts about whether those incidents were really accidental. Britain's Daily Mirror made mention of a leaked memo regarding the meeting which took place last year, but now the British government is using its Official Secrets Act to prevent publication of the actual document. And Dateline Atlanta. Three Catholic clergy members were arrested along with 30 other people for conducting civil disobedience protests at a combat training facility in Georgia. The installation at Fort Benning was formerly called the School of the Americas, but has been renamed the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation. It specializes in training military personnel from Latin America. Previous wake-up call shows have dealt with the activities surrounding the type of training provided at the School of the Americas. Graduates of that facility have been consistently linked to human rights violations and squashing liberation movements in Central and South America. The three Catholic clergy are identified as 73-year-old Father Louis Vitale, 68-year-old Father Jerome Zawada, and Sister Mary Lynch. They were arrested on Sunday after crossing a 10-foot barbed wire fence that surrounds Fort Benning. Thousands of people were a part of this year's protest activities, which called for the closing of that facility and also to protest the Bush administration's opposition to banning torture tactics. Although the protests began 16 years ago, no independent investigation into the School of the Americas has ever been undertaken. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
Ever hear of the Restore?
Yeah, where is it?
3763 Forest Park Avenue, east of Vanaventer, west of Spring.
What's in the Restore?
It's an eclectic mix of new and used building materials.
Like cabinets, stoves, hardware?
Absolutely. Everything from windows and doors to the kitchen sink, and then some.
And your purchases benefit Habitat for Humanity St. Louis, right?
Yes, they do.
I gotta check this out. When's the Restore open?
Tuesday through Saturday, 9 to 4.
3763 Forest Park Avenue.
The Restore. Check it out.
Right now, the sun is shining, but people are crying. This is Aaron Neville speaking for the American Red Cross. When a hurricane like Katrina passes, it leaves behind massive devastation. Just because the weather map shows the storm is over, doesn't mean it's over. People have lost their homes, lost their families. People were glued to their TVs. Where will it hit? Where will it hit? It's still hitting. For some people, Hurricane Katrina could last for the rest of their lives. This is a country that comes together in times of need. Do whatever you can. Please help these people put their lives back together. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or go to redcross.org and click Donate Now. If it takes a while, keep trying. Please help the devastated victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters each year. Go to redcross.org or call 1-800-HELP-NOW. Right now, the sun is shining, but the work has just begun. Brought to you by the American Red Cross, the Ad Council, and this station.
Liz Brown is on vacation today, but will return on Monday live in the studio at 6 a.m. Until then, enjoy more of the best of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
On the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am talking to Reverend Lisa Sykes, and she is one of the founding members of the Coalition for Mercury-Free Drugs. She's joining us from Richmond, Virginia. Reverend, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz.
And talk to us about the Coalition for Mercury-Free Drugs.
CoMed is what we call it for short. And it really began with a letter-writing campaign to the Office of Special Counsel in the year 2004. We drafted a letter, airtight, with several serious allegations against the FDA, the CDC, and the Institute of Medicine, the IOM.
And we sent these letters, each from our own address, to Special Counsel Scott Block. And we also took the letter and we downloaded it onto lots of websites and asked other parents around the country to do the same. The Office of Special Counsel ended up getting hundreds and hundreds of letters from parents who knew their children had been mercury poisoned with credible allegations. And the result of the letter writing campaign was a new level of statement from the federal government. On May the 20th, 2004, Scott Block put out a press release. And if I can just read you one key sentence. He said, based on the publicly available information, it appears there may be sufficient evidence to find a substantial likelihood of a substantial and specific danger to the public health caused by the use of thimerosal mercury in vaccines because of its inherent toxicity. And he called for congressional investigations in both the Senate and the House, which have not yet been fully undertaken, even though that's been a year ago. That was the beginning of our co-med group. The leaders of this project combined with scientists, Dr. Paul G. King, and Mark and David Geyer have been adjunct to co-med. And from this letter-writing campaign to the Office of Special Counsel, we went on to involve the Office of the Inspector General. They, too, were asked to look at this issue because of our letter-writing campaign. And they had a very interesting sentence in a letter I received from Michael E. Little, the Deputy Inspector General for Investigations in the Office of the Inspector General for Health and Human Services. This is about as high as you can go within HHS. And Michael Little wrote me on July the 19th, "We have determined that your above allegation represents a potential conflict of interest issue which may be criminal in nature."
Huh?
"And therefore falls within the Department of Health and Human Services, the Office of the Inspector General, the Office of Investigations authority to investigate." I've got it in black and white.
Wow.
They have said that, and it's on our website if anybody wants to go and read it for themselves. And yet still the CDC and the FDA are lying about the causal connection between mercury and neurodevelopmental disorders.
Reverend Sykes, what do you tell the parents? What do you tell parents out there to do? Do you tell them to do on the advocacy part of this?
There's so much parents have to do today when they realize the situation they're confronted with. Advocacy takes time and energy over and above caring for a very disabled child in most cases. Mm. And some parents, in all honesty, just don't have the supportive structure and the energy to be able to do it. You've got to take care of your child first and get them the best care that you can. And then if you have energy, the best thing you can do is keep a paper trail. You write these federal officials and you say, "I know this is on record. Why are you not talking about it? Why are you not acting? If Al-Qaeda did to our children what we have done to our children, we would declare war." It's that simple.
And health-wise, if a parent wants to find out how to take the mercury out of their baby, how do they do that? Where do they go?
There's only a handful of researchers, and you really, the best source right now is the Internet. You go to established groups like Defeat Autism Now, and you look for their practitioner list. For those physicians and researchers brave enough to understand this as mercury poisoning and treat it as such.
Have you had any contact with the teachers' associations, any teachers' organizations out there to join with you?
Well, you know, there's a problem here because what's required to get your child into school? The vaccines. Most established organizations won't touch this issue with a 10-foot pole. And Liz, I must tell you that I'm really, really, really proud of the United Methodist Church, the Virginia Annual Conference, that passed a very clear and powerful resolution on June the 15th of this year, calling for an end to administration of mercury-containing products, including vaccines,
to pregnant women and children that called for informed consent and called for the banning of any product with a level of mercury that has not been proven to be safe. And we've got to make the public understand that in clinical trials, no level of mercury has ever been proven to be safe. It is a neurotoxin and a carcinogenic. So, and Liz, there's one more thing, if I may, that I should add. Before the Food and Drug Administration right now is an FDA citizen's petition. We found out about this through Dr. Paul G. King. It's a way to force policy point review through established federal channels. On the FDA website, you can find our petition, 2004P-0349, calling for the immediate ending to administering mercury and other steps like banning and recalls. And the FDA had 180 days by law to answer us. The petition was filed on August the 4th of 2004. They still have not answered us.
And how much of this of these vaccines are still left out there, Reverend?
There is a substantial quantity. I think an advocate mom in North Carolina figured out in the state of North Carolina there are still 20,000 vials of mercury-containing vaccines. I don't know how they figured that, but the number they came up with was 20,000. What parent wants to be the unlucky one to unwittingly give permission for one of those to be administered to their child?
And that's going to have to be our last word. Reverend Lisa Sykes, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
You are very welcome. Thank you for your interest in this vital issue.
Yes, ma'am. God bless.
You too.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with us.
The following has been the best of the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown will be back on Monday morning, bright and early at 6 a.m. Until then, we're going to continue with another hour of the best of the Wake Up Call. And then from 8 o'clock until 10 o'clock, Keith Gray will be sitting in for Liz Brown. So stick around for more of the Wake Up Call, the best of the Wake Up Call, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
The pearl, beautiful, lustrous, developed through years of hard work, patience, and the occasional grain of sand. The 30th annual Chuck Mormon Charity Christmas Party is a true pearl. Sunday, December 18th from 3 to 7 p.m. at Orlando Gardens, 8352 Watson Road in Webster Groves. Seating is limited to 500 persons. Party and dinner tickets are $10 in advance. This includes a family-style buffet, a DJ with music from Complete Music Company, and entertainment from the Sweet and Sassy Dancers and the Jerry Stretz Professional Dancers. It also includes drawings for gift box door prizes, including, appropriately, a 30th anniversary set of pearls. Donation-only tickets are just $5. Don't wait. Get your tickets from B Parks at AARP, Martha West at Gateway Hubert Wheeler School, Rita Cathy at Contemporary Living Options, or Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. The 30th Annual Chuck Norman Charity Christmas Party, Sunday, December 18th at Orlando Gardens, 8352 Watson Road in Webster Groves. Like all true pearls, something to be treasured, something not to be missed.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
With a hot that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
And if you want the best deal, you may already be too late. At one Walmart store, early bird shoppers losing their cool after the retailer runs out of one of this year's hottest gifts.
It almost escalated to a riot in South Philadelphia when they ran out of $350 laptop computers at the Walmart. Police were called in to calm things down, but the bargain hunters are still out. They're looking for what they can. Now they're taking out 20-inch TV DVD combos because all the early morning bargains are gone. Tom McDonald, ABC News, Philadelphia.
In Houston, this bargain hunter says getting up early is the trick to saving money.
I got to get the early bird special.
Is it that good?
Oh, yeah. TVs, portable DVD players, everything.
Price is really good.
I think it's a good price for today.
Now, would you do this again?
Honestly, yes, I would. If it's no fighting involved, yes, I would.
Retail experts expect a 6% increase in sales this year. An ABC News poll finds most Americans intend to spend about $200 more on gifts than they did last year. Iraq's president offering to meet with insurgents, and it looks like some are taking him up on it. But ABC's Aaron Katursky says Al-Qaeda is not one of the groups willing to negotiate any sort of peace agreement.
So far, we understand four terror groups have made contact with the Iraqi president about a meeting. But this is only a first step. Full negotiations between the government and the insurgents would be complicated and delicate since there are so many religious and ethnic considerations.
She's back. Peace mom Cindy Sheehan is protesting again near President Bush's ranch in Crawford, Texas.
George, you never have told us what the noble cause is, but we're here to tell you that the noble cause is going to be for peace. Lasting peace.
Sheehan, whose son Casey was killed last year in Iraq, held a 26-day protest outside the ranch in August. This is ABC News.
My name is Sarah, and when I was about 17, I started Fry Farms. I sold our first load of pumpkins to a local Walmart. And one by one, my brothers came home from college to join me in the business. 10 years later, we're selling millions of cantaloupes, watermelons, and pumpkins that can be found in Walmart stores across the nation. Walmart appreciated the quality of the local produce, and the rural communities have thrived because of our business with Walmart. It makes me feel great. I love it.
Sir, what is your name?
Dave.
Well, Dave, you're scaring the other passengers. I have to ask you to remove the ski mask.
I have to filter out the bad air. Some of those people look terrible.
Sir, the ski mask.
Okay. How do you stay healthy breathing airplane air?
I take Emergen-C every day. The powder in the little packets loaded with vitamin C, B vitamins, and essential minerals. Just mix it in your water.
It's fizzing.
That's Emergen-C. It gives your immune system a boost.
I gotta get Emergen-C. Until then, could you just drop my oxygen mask?
Emergen-C for life. Find it in the vitamin C section.
Besides kicking off the shopping season, Thanksgiving also marks the beginning of the holiday movie season when some of the blockbusters are released. And no doubt ABC's Alex Stone says some moviegoers will break the unspoken rules.
At the beginning of a movie, the theater usually reminds everyone to turn off their cell phones. But undoubtedly, right when the movie is getting good, somebody's cell phone has to go off. And if it's not a cell phone, maybe it's a crying baby. Jacqueline Whitmore at etiquetteexpert.com says we should all remember the theater is not our living room.
The rule is once the movie starts, everybody should be quiet.
And she tells me if people are making noise, it is not rude to ask them politely to be quiet. Alex Stone, ABC News, Hollywood.
Taxing hybrids and billing drivers by the mile. That's what the federal government should do, says the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, to put money back into the Highway Trust Fund, which it says is running out of cash. I'm Daniela Bellotta, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, four people from Milwaukee are dead after a crash in Missouri's Boot Heel. The victim's van hit the median on southbound I-55 in Pemiscot County Wednesday morning and overturned into the path of a northbound tractor trailer. 71-year-old Joseph Downs, 44-year-old Betty Wimpy, 74-year-old Robert Thompson, and 52-year-old Steve Branch, all of Milwaukee, were ejected and killed instantly. The tractor-trailer driver, a 53-year-old Sykeston, Missouri man, was airlifted to a Cape Girardeau hospital. It's Black Friday, one of the busiest shopping days of the year. Michael Allison, an economic lecturer at the University of Missouri St. Louis, says he expects sales will be a little better this year than last year.
Last year, same-store sales were up about 2.3%, I think. This year will probably be a little higher than that, but it won't be anything that's going to blow the roof off.
Allison says the higher gas prices and even the fact that so many people gave to hurricane relief efforts this year will curb some people's buying habits. He says we are likely to see places like Walmart and Target benefiting more than the higher-end stores. The Missouri High School Football State Championship games get underway this afternoon at the Edward Jones Dome. Montgomery County and Cameron battle for the Class 2 title at noon. The Class 4 final at 3:15 pits Afton against Camdenton, while Hazelwood Central and DeSmet will play for the Class 6 crown at 7 o'clock. The championship games for Classes 1, 3, and 5 will be played tomorrow. Finally this hour, Microsoft's Xbox 360 may already be sold out in many stores, but retailers still expect electronics items to lead the pack in the after-Thanksgiving shopping plunge today and through the weekend. Tops among the best sellers, iPods and other MP3 players, flat-screen TVs, portable DVD players, and satellite radio systems. Robert Wilson, manager of Toys R Us in Visalia, California, told the Times Delta that no one toy has yet emerged as this year's favorite. The International Council of Shopping Centers says more than 9% of all holiday shopping occurs the weekend after Thanksgiving. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by McDonald's. Start your day with a warm McGriddle sandwich and a great cup of coffee. I'm loving it. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. With a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by TomTom. Northbound 55 at Poplar Street, there's an accident. The tractor-trailer is partly overturned on the ramp, and the ramp is blocked. Eastbound 70 at Mid-Rivers Mall. Look for no problems there. Eastbound 44 from 109 all the way into Lindbergh looks good. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge all the way into Lee May Ferry. Everything is on the move. Southbound 270 at Manchester. Nothing to report there. Westbound 370 at St. Louis Mills Parkway. Everything is on the move as well. In both directions, 141 between Bowles and Gravoy. Look for maintenance operations having one lane closed. Westbound 370 at 270 in Elm. Road maintenance operations will have various lanes closures going on there as well. Route 367 between 270 and New Jamestown Road. Traffic has been switched to the outer roads as work continues to convert 367 into an uninterrupted freeway. Eastbound 30 at Summit, there's bridge maintenance operations. Left lane is closed. Bermuda north of 70, look for road widening underway, so lane restrictions will apply. Northbound Keeneland at Natural Bridge, pretty much the same. They're widening that from 2 lanes to 4 lanes, so you can expect some restrictions there. In both directions, Illinois 143 between 67 and Illinois Route 3, there's paving operations. That's over on the east side. And Illinois 158 to 64, bridge maintenance operations will have lane closures going on, as well as 64 between 50 and 158. Look for various lane closures going on throughout the day. There's a lot of stuff going on over on the Illinois side. That is a look at this hour's WGNU traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by TomTom. With a TomTom, you just tap a screen and a helpful voice helps to guide you where you're going. Grab it and go. TomTom is your portable everyday GPS solution. Visit TomTom.com and you're on your way. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, partly cloudy skies with a high in the lower 40s. This evening, not quite as cool. Partly cloudy with a low in the mid-30s. Saturday, breezy, not as cool. Cloudy, a chance of rain in the afternoon, high in the mid-50s. Saturday evening, breezy, and showers are probably going to continue. It still won't be as cool with a low in the upper 40s. Then moving on to Sunday, breezy conditions, cloudy skies, another chance for showers and a possible thunderstorm. The high should be around the mid-60s is what they're predicting for Sunday. Currently, the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have a crisp 22 degrees outside under clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 20 degrees, and the wind chill makes it feel like it's 14. Liz Brown is off until Monday. Until then, we have the best of the wake-up call, so you want to stick around for that. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, 8 to 10, Liz will be off as well, so Keith Gray is filling in for her, and that will be a live Party Line program right here on AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brother, how time to say. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brother, how time to say.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You can always email me at Liz Brown, LIZZBROWN, at SBCGlobal.net. That's Liz Brown at SBCGlobal.net. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get to me today. We have much to talk about. Recently, the Supreme Court decided that this country will no longer kill children. I want to give you a little bit of a background of where we are with the death penalty, because we're going to talk about what led up to that decision, what that decision means, and what battles are left to fight on the death penalty issue. 1972, Furman versus Georgia, the Supreme Court ruled that the death penalty does not violate the Constitution. However, the manner in which the death penalty is applied does. The court noted that capital punishment is most likely to be imposed in a discriminatory way, where people of African descent are far more likely to be executed than white people. And in 1972, Furman versus Georgia essentially ends the practice of its execution. A mere 4 years later, in the decision Gregg versus Georgia, Georgia death penalty statute is held constitutional. This is a ruling that sets the stage for the resumption of executions. In 1987, McClendon versus Kemp, the justices ruled that the state death penalty laws are constitutional even when the statistics show that they have been applied in racially biased ways. In 1988, Thompson versus Oklahoma, the court decides that people younger than 16 when they committed a crime may not be executed. However, a mere year later, Stanford versus Kentucky, the justices uphold the constitutionality of executing juveniles older than 15. In 2002, Atkins versus Virginia justices ruled that executing mentally retarded criminals violates the Constitution's ban on cruel and unusual punishments. Justice John Paul Stevens cites a national consensus against executing a killer who may lack the intelligence to fully understand his crime. And then in 2005, Roper versus Simmons, the court rules that the Constitution forbids the execution of killers who were under the age of 18 when they committed their crimes, ending a practice used in 19 states. So here we are today, from 1972 to 2005. What is interesting is that juveniles have been executed. States have been executing juveniles. Since January 1st, 1973, Texas has executed 13 juveniles, Virginia 3, Oklahoma 2, South Carolina 1, Louisiana 1, Missouri 1, Georgia 1. The total is 22. And Missouri executed one juvenile before banning of executions of those under 18. We have to talk about this. And what is interesting is that the case that took us to the Supreme Court, I believe it's from here in Missouri, we have Margaret Phillips, a spokesperson from the St. Louis region of Missourians to abolish the death penalty, joining us here on the wake-up call. Margaret, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you. And we also have Sue Vaughn, the director of Amnesty International's program to abolish the death penalty, joining us from Washington, D.C. Sue, welcome to the wake-up call.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Margaret, let's start with you. Talk to us about the case that took us to the Supreme Court.
This was, like so many of the murders, all murders, horrible. He and an accomplice went to the house of a woman who he recognized or thought would recognize him, said they bound her and threw her over the bridge into the water, bound. Reportedly, he said that, well, they can't do anything to us, we're juveniles. We all know that juveniles think they're immortal.
Yes, they do.
He has been on death row for many years now. He has the reputation now of being a model inmate of trying, out of his remorse, to work with kids to the extent that he can from being on death row. It's a sort of don't do what I did kind of a lesson. That's a summary of the actual facts.
Okay, and in terms of the state of Missouri and the efforts within the state of Missouri to work on this case, to work against the death penalty, is Missouri different than other states?
In execution of juveniles, well, we, like many others, execute under 18. If you mean the death penalty as a whole, we do execute proportionally more than most states. We are, the last time I looked, number four in the nation in the number of people executed, which is a pretty high rate.
And Sue, I'd like to go to you. Could you talk to us about the details of the decision made by in Roper versus Simmons? How did the court come to decide that this country would no longer execute juveniles?
Yes, Liz. There were a couple of reasons, and it's very interesting. I just wanted to mention that the United States, for all practical purposes, was the only country that was actively executing juvenile offenders in the entire international community. Since 2000, only four other countries have executed juveniles, China, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Iran and Pakistan, and in all of these cases, when they go before the UN Human Rights Commission, they sort of deny the practice, or they say, you know, this is something that slipped through the cracks, or in fact, we have a de facto moratorium. So, since Till Roper, the United States was the only country that sort of unabashedly kept the juvenile death penalty within its penal statute. So that's an interesting fact, I think, that most listeners might not be aware of. In the ruling, there were a couple of different factors that the justices looked at. One was the main force that also took place in the case of Atkins versus Virginia, which determined that the death penalty for those with mental retardation should be banned, which took place in 2002 when the ruling came from the Supreme Court. And essentially, in interpreting how the Eighth Amendment provision of cruel and unusual punishment should be applied, the justices determined that in any maturing society, in any contemporary society that is growing, they look to evolving standards of decency in terms of how the provision of cruel and unusual punishment is to be interpreted. And that, in fact, in the United States, that executing juvenile offenders constituted cruel and unusual punishment because children are different under the law. We treat them differently in so many different categories, whether it's buying alcohol, buying tobacco, entering into contracts, serving on a jury. Children are different. And the more and more evidence that we find in terms of cognitive development and brain development, kids are different. And kids are less morally culpable, even in the case of a heinous crime, as Margaret described. They are different from the way adults should be treated. So that was one of the main things they looked at. They also looked at state legislatures, and public opinion on this issue. And while there still exists in the United States some support for, a majority of the population does support the death penalty per se, we found in case after case that there was public opposition to the juvenile death penalty. They also looked at the states that had changed. We had four states since 1989, since Stanford versus Kentucky, which determined that 16 and 17-year-olds could be put to death, that states had changed their laws. We had laws changed in Montana, Indiana, and South Dakota and Wyoming. And moreover, what the court also looked at was not just the number of states, but the direction in which the states were changing. So you had states changing to increase the age, and in no case was there a decrease in the age. And as I mentioned before, international norms, international conventions to which the U.S. is bound also played a role.
Now, when we look at the evidence about how juveniles are different, when we the studies that are done, Sue, it just seems so obvious. Of course, children are different than adults. Why do you suppose it's been so difficult to for this country to not embrace that and to not be appalled at the idea that we would be a nation that that's easily kills children?
That's an interesting question for which I actually don't have a good answer. The only speculation that I can have on whether the death penalty, whether it be applied to juveniles or adults. During the 80s, I believe, the late 70s and 80s, there was a lot of very sensationalistic media coverage of certain crimes, not just death penalty eligible crimes, but certain crimes by juvenile offenders in general. And I think instead of trying to sort of analyze the socioeconomic reasons or put it in context, was highly sensationalized. And the death penalty, I think, was seen by many politicians as sort of a quick fix, in terms of their political campaigns, in terms of, saying this is the way, we have these teen killers and, they need to be, put to death kind of thing, which, really was highly, highly sensationalized. And I think that caught on with public opinion. So I think it's taken, some time to change that public opinion and to, make people realize that, in fact, even in the United States, while the juvenile death penalty has existed,
very few states, even with the states that have death penalty statutes, very few states actually use this, you know, with regards to juveniles. In fact, I believe out of the 19 states that have death penalty statutes, there were juveniles on death rows in only 12 of them. In those 12, too, you know, when you come up with appeals and stuff, I think there's a realization that these children who have the possibility of being rehabilitated, you know, no matter what the crime they committed when they were, you know, underage, you know, don't deserve to die. I mean, the death penalty is the ultimate, most irrevocable punishment. And by no means is Amnesty International and other organizations that worked on this issue saying that juvenile offenders shouldn't be held accountable. But the death penalty is, in fact, different. And I think that in more recent times, it's just a few states, Texas being one of the leading ones, who've actually executed juvenile offenders in large numbers. So even in the United States, this practice is dwindling because there isn't that great public support for it, despite the sort of sensationalistic sort of media efforts to say that, you know, these kids, you know, deserve to die. And, you know, I also think that, you know, the point that you made about children being different is in many ways an obvious point. Anyone who has teenagers at home can attest to the fact that someone, you know, acts very differently at 16 than they do at, you know, 26.
And even if you don't have children, everyone appreciates the fact that children should not, a 12-year-old, a 15-year-old, shouldn't be allowed to drink. There are plenty of rules out here that we have for children, and we understand why we have these rules for children.
Exactly. And it's a universal prohibition. This is not something that's, you know, particular to the United States. There's almost an international consensus that children are different and deserve, you know, a high level of protection, you know, within the criminal justice system, within society. And I just think that this, you know, the United States has finally sort of realized this as a nation and is in step now with the international community.
And let me get to Margaret here because she has to leave in a few minutes. Margaret, how when the court talks about measuring public opinion, how does Missouri stand in terms of public opinion and the death penalty?
Oh, Missouri, about juveniles. Missouri, like the rest of the country, opinion polls show are against execution of juveniles. That's public opinion polls. One just came out recently, I think, nationwide. Can't remember details. But the... It is interesting that people say most juveniles don't kill. Why do you want to prevent us from killing those who do? You can make a comparable argument that most people who are jobless or poor don't kill people, don't burgle, don't rob. But statistics show that there's a higher proportion. Those factors push people, but most don't. You could push that analogy by saying, okay, most teenagers don't drink too much, so let's let them all. Most teenagers don't drive carelessly, so why don't we let everybody do it? It's not the most that are the issue here. It's the fact that underlying their age, their status, there is less ability. Avoid these problem, these horrible outcomes.
Now, I've noticed as I looked at the patterns of when the death penalty has been eliminated, we've eliminated the death penalty for the mentally challenged. We have eliminated the death penalty for our young people. Yet and still, one pervasive fact continues and has been with us from the beginning and continues with us, and that's racial disparity. Do either one of you see an end to the death penalty because of the racial disparities that persist in the execution of the death penalty?
Well, I will let Margaret sort of talk about Missouri, and I can talk more, you know, at the national level.
Very good.
Yeah. For race, most recent statistics show, since the criminal justice system is very careful now to try not to let gross racial inequities show in statistics, what's left really that is so painful is that it's that a person who kills a white person is more likely to get the death penalty. This shows a
dreadful underlying assumption and pattern, black lives are worth less. Do we really want to say that?
And we're going to let that, we're going to end with that, Margaret. Thank you so much, Margaret Phillips, spokesperson from St. Louis, Missourians to Abolish the Death Penalty. Thank
Could
you.
I add one little tidbit?
Certainly.
We have a web page that people might find good links to, including public opinion polls. If you look for it under www.moabolition.org.
Very good. Margaret Phillips, spokesperson from Missourians to Abolish the Death Penalty. Thank you for joining us. And Sue, stay with us. We're going to be back to continue this conversation.
Thank you.
This is Liz Brown, the wake-up call. We're talking about the death penalty, and we're talking about the execution of juveniles. We'll be back. Stay with us.
The following has been the best of the wake-up call. Liz will be back on Monday morning, bright and early at 6 a.m. to start the wake-up call live. Until then, we'll return you back to the best of the wake-up call following the bottom of the hour traffic, weather, and these commercials. Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at the Sours traffic and weather. Sours traffic is sponsored by Helzberg's Diamonds. Northbound 55 at Poplar Street Bridge is an accident involving a tractor trailer. It's partially overturned on the ramp. Eastbound 70 at Mid Rivers Mall, no problems to report. Eastbound 44 between 109 and Lindbergh, everything is on the move there. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge all the way into Lee May Ferry looks good. Southbound 270 at Manchester, no problems there. Westbound 370 at St. Louis Mills, everything is on the move. Old State at Manchester, there's a report of an accident. Westbound 370 between 270 and Elm. Look for road maintenance operations. Various lanes will be closed. 367 from 270 to New Jamestown. There, traffic is being switched on the outer roads to convert 367 into an uninterrupted freeway. Bermuda Road north of 70, the road widening is underway, so expect restrictions, as well as northbound Keeneland at Natural Bridge. They're pretty much doing the same, widening it from two lanes to four lanes in both directions. Illinois 143 between US 67 and Illinois 3, look for paving operations going on as well. Illinois 159 at Amaro, look for road construction there. Lane closures will be in effect, as well as Illinois 158 at 64. There's bridge maintenance operations, lane closures there. And Illinois 64 between 50 and 158. Look for various lane closures due to road construction going on. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Helzberg Diamonds. Stop by Helzberg Diamonds this holiday weekend. 3 days of low introductory pricing. Quarter carat, total weight, right-hand rings, just $99.99. Visit Helzberg.com for a location nearest you. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, partly cloudy skies, high around in the lower 40s this evening, not quite as cool. Partly cloudy with a low to mid-30s. And moving on to Saturday, breezy, not as cool. Cloudy, a chance of rain in the afternoon, high in the mid-50s. Saturday evening, breezy, not as cool. Showers are likely with a low in the upper 40s. And on Sunday, breezy, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers, possible even thunderstorm. They're expecting highs in the mid-60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under very clear skies, we have 22 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 20 with a wind chill of 14. Stay tuned for more of the best of the wake-up call. Liz will be back live Monday at 6 a.m. Until then, we will bring you the best of the wake-up call. Coming up at 10, or from 8 to 10, you have Keith Gray, who's going to be filling in for Liz Brown. That's up at 8 o'clock, but until then, enjoy this best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Monday morning at 7, our guest is Latifah Lyles, membership vice president for the National Organization for Women. She'll be going over some documents that have come to light from Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito that indicate he may not be a justice women can count on. His remarks made during the Reagan era indicate he's likely to scale back women's rights and protection against employment discrimination, as well as tinker around with the Family and Medical Leave Act. A closer look at Judge Samuel Alito, Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
When you discover something of true value, that pearl of great price, you take special care of it. The 30th Annual Chuck Norman Charity Christmas Party celebrates its pearl anniversary this year by honoring those who help others throughout Metro St. Louis. This year's party is from 3 to 7 p.m. Sunday, December 18th at Orlando Gardens, 8352 Watson Road. The parking is free. The ticket price of $10 per person includes a family-style buffet, a DJ from Complete Music Company, the Jerry Stretz Professional Dancers, and the Sweet and Sassy Dancers continue the tradition of great entertainment. There are also drawings for door prizes, including, what else, a 30th anniversary set of pearls. Donation-only tickets are also available at $5 each. Seating is limited to 500 persons, so get your tickets now and don't be disappointed. They're available from B Parks at AARP, Martha West at Gateway Hubert Wheeler School, Rita Caffey at Contemporary Living Options, or from Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. The 30th Annual Chuck Norman Charity Christmas Party, Sunday, December 18th, 3 to 7 p.m. at Orlando Gardens, 8352 Watson Road in Webster Groves.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? It's the day after Thanksgiving, and you know what that means. The biggest sales day of the year. That's right, from 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. at Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. Wonderful sales going on. The first 25 customers get a $10 off gift card. 20-inch Sylvania flat-screen televisions, $89.99. Portable DVD players, $89.99. 51-inch Toshiba high-definition television sets, $899.99. 20% off of all regular price Kenmore appliances. That and so much, much, much more. You don't have to take out a bank loan to fill up your tank and go to the mall to check out a Sears right here in your neighborhood, in your community. Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. Sears, get your shop on.
Next, on Mondays at 9, a visit with director Robert Greenwald on his new movie, Walmart, The High Cost of Low Prices. It takes you behind the smiley face and into the real lives of workers and families, business owners, and their communities, providing an in-depth look at the company's labor practices, poor benefits, and harsh working conditions. In addition, journalist Liza Featherstone, who wrote the book Selling Women Short, The Battle for Workers' Rights at Walmart, will also be joining us. Her book examined the historic lawsuit by 1.5 million female workers against the company and how it helped change company policies toward women. Another can't-miss episode of The Wake Up Call on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
Liz Brown is out until Monday, but until then, we're going to bring you the best of the wake-up call. Stick around at 8 o'clock. Keith Gray fills in for Liz for the next 2 hours, and Keith Gray will be on live right here at AM 920. Until then, enjoy more of the best of the wake-up call.
The world at WGNU.net, the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax. And before we get back to our guests, I want to remind everyone that we're coming home again. We're going to Africa again, this time South Africa and Ghana, July 7th through the 25th. We need you to get your deposits in by April 1st. Please call 866-719-3243. That's 866-719-3243. We will be giving away a free trip. We will be doing a drawing of those that have paid their deposits for this trip to South Africa and Ghana, July 7th through the 20th. So why don't you join us? Please join us. It's going to be so much fun. It's going to be such a wonderful opportunity. Call 866-719-3243. This is Liz Brown, and this is the Wake Up Call. You can email me at Liz Brown, LizzBrown, at sbcglobal.net. Please don't forget, we are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web, as we do every day, at WGNU.net. That's www.WGNU.net. Listen to us live on the World Wide Web. We are talking talking this morning about the execution of juveniles, the fact that the Supreme Court abolished on March 1st the death penalty for juveniles. Prior to this decision by the United States Supreme Court, there were a number of inmates on death row who were juveniles when their crimes were committed. Texas had 29, Alabama had 14, Mississippi had 5, Arizona had 4, Louisiana had 4, North Carolina had 4, Florida had 3, South Carolina 3, Georgia 2, Pennsylvania 2, Nevada 1, Virginia 1. This is Liz Brown. I am now talking to Sue Vaughn, director of Amnesty International's program to abolish the death penalty, joining us from Washington, D.C. And joining us at this part of the hour is David Elliott, communications director for the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty, also joining us from Washington, D.C. David, welcome to the conversation.
Well, good morning, Liz.
And Sue, on our way out, prior to the break, we were talking about the issue of race and how it impacts on the decision of who gets executed. And our last guest spoke to it from a Missouri perspective. Talk to us about it from a national perspective.
Yeah, Margaret was absolutely correct. The probability of getting the death penalty for if the victim is victim is white goes up almost three times. Three times as likely to get the death penalty if your victim is white. That's one part of the equation. The point that Margaret didn't make, because she left early, was that the criminal justice system is biased, racially and socioeconomically biased, almost from the outset. So from the time who gets arrested, how they get sentenced, what kind of counsel they have access to.
Why they get stopped.
There are so many, at so many different stages of the game, there's such rampant bias that once you come to the actual sentencing phase, it's almost a done deal, if you're poor and if you're a person of color. So, the death penalty, Amnesty International, while we had a two-year campaign specifically targeting the execution of juvenile offenders, we're an abolitionist organization. We believe that the death penalty is the ultimate violation of someone's human rights, no matter what the case, no matter what the crime. And one of the reasons we believe this is that the death penalty system is administered by fallible human beings. So, In no utopian, way could it ever be equitable or fair or not capricious or not arbitrary. And I'll let my colleague David, kind of add to some of the comments that I've made.
And David, what I'd like to ask you is how difficult was this battle to get this country to abolish the execution of juveniles? For your organization, the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty?
It was a long battle. There were a number of anti-death penalty groups, including Amnesty International, including the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty, who were involved. But there were also a number of groups who take no position on the death penalty overall, but merely think that the execution of juvenile offenders is unacceptable in our society. We had groups such as the American Bar Association, which does not officially oppose capital punishment, but they came on board because they did not think that juvenile offender executions were appropriate. We also had a number of other religious organizations and medical organizations, children's welfare organizations come forward, and they submitted their own friend of the court briefs to the Supreme Court arguing that this practice is wrong and must be ended. And, when the Supreme Court handed down its very historic ruling last week, they agreed with us. They confirmed what we all know and what science recently has proven. Kids are different. Kids are different from adults and by their very nature cannot qualify as the worst of the worst standard that we use to at least some people use to justify a sentence of death.
Now, David, when we talk about this decision that came down, this historic decision that came down, it was not a unanimous decision. Anthony Scalia wrote a dissenting opinion on that. Talk to us about what were his grounds for dissenting on this.
Well, there were a number of different grounds. His opinion was, as his opinions tend to be, somewhat scathing. He disagreed that there was actually a strong national consensus against executing juvenile offenders. He also took issue with the fact that Justice Kennedy, in his majority opinion, noted that virtually every country around the world has abandoned this practice. Scalia argued, well, you know, should we really be guided by what all of the other countries in the world do? And I think that in this day and age, we should be guided by what other countries do.
I'm sorry for laughing, because that is really just astounding.
It is, Liz. And to add to David's point, I mean, the Constitution of the U.S. Of the United States is very firmly grounded in British common law, and has had international, you know, influences right from its very, you know, inception. So to say that the United States Constitution is just sort of interpreted in a vacuum is misguided, you know, at the very least.
And to say that, well, we don't care that most of the world doesn't kill children, should we really be looking at that? Should we really be looking at what the rest of the world is doing with regard to children? That's really, that's astounding.
I agree.
Was he alone in that? Was it just Antonin Scalia's position, or was it also some other justices that joined him on that, David?
It was actually two other justices who joined him on that particular point, those being Justice Clarence Thomas and Justice Rehnquist. Justice Sandra Day O'Connor wrote a separate opinion in which she said that she would actually take into account, she would acknowledge international opinion regarding this practice. However, she disagreed that a strong consensus had emerged opposing the juvenile death penalty in the U.S. So it was, you know, altogether, it was kind of a complicated, complex cross-current of opinions that came down from the court. But thankfully, we did prevail, and a solid, if narrow, majority did find the concept to be unconstitutional.
Well, given the history of the back and forth of yes, we can execute, no, we can't execute nature of this court, we have to take a break, but I would like both of you to address when we come back, do we have other cases that are coming up that may turn this case around, that may challenge this case? My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We are taking a break. I'm talking to Sue Vaughn, the director of Amnesty International's program to abolish the death penalty, and David Elliott, communications director for the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty. We're talking about the Supreme Court's recent decision, I believe that was on March 2nd, to abolish the death penalty for juveniles. I will be back. Stay with us.
Bring me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it.
You're listening to the best of the Wake Up Call. Liz will be back Monday live in the studio. Until then, enjoy more of the best of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Monday morning at 7, our guest is Latifah Lyles, membership vice president for the National Organization for Women. She'll be going over some documents that have come to light from Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito that indicate he may not be a justice women can count on. His remarks made during the Reagan era indicate he's likely to scale back women's rights and protection against employment discrimination, as well as tinker around with the Family and Medical Leave Act. A closer look at Judge Samuel Alito, Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Tashkent. The government of Uzbekistan has forced the United States to close an important military base it had been using for operations in Afghanistan. Uzbek officials back in July gave the American military 6 months to get out of the Karshi-Nabad facility that was an older base built by the Soviets and more commonly known as K-2. It had been a strategic staging area for the American forces operating in Afghanistan. This week, a closing ceremony was conducted, the American flag was stricken, and the keys were turned over to the Uzbek Defense Ministry. And Dateline Paris. A French court is considering a complaint against a French rapper brought by a member of the French Parliament. The reason? The reason for the lawsuit, the rapper, who calls himself Monsieur R, called France a slut in one of his songs. The lawmaker, Daniel Mock, says it is an attack upon the dignity of France and of the state. The song uses several profane words, including the F word. If convicted, the rapper could go to jail for 3 years and pay a $50,000 fine. The lawmaker says the recent outbreak of violence in France had nothing to do with why he brought the lawsuit. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. 9913. That's 800-376-9913.
Next, on Mondays at 9, a visit with director Robert Greenwald on his new movie, Walmart, The High Cost of Low Prices. It takes you behind the smiley face and into the real lives of workers and families, business owners, and their communities, providing an in-depth look at the company's labor practices, poor benefits, and harsh working conditions. In addition, journalist Liza Featherstone, who wrote the book Selling Women Short, The Battle for Workers' Rights at Walmart, will also be joining us. Her book examined the historic lawsuit by 1.5 million female workers against the company, and how it helped change company policies toward women. Another can't-miss episode of The Wake-Up Call on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
We now return you back to the best of The Wake-Up Call. Liz will be live in the studio on Monday. Until then, we'll have the best of The Wake-Up Call up until 8 o'clock hour. Then from 8 to 10, Keith Gray will be filling in for Liz. So you want to tune in for that right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Please don't forget, we are going to Africa July 7th through the 20th. Join us when the Wake-Up Call goes back to Africa. This time we're going to South Africa and Ghana. We need your deposit by April 1st. Please call 866-719-3243. That's 866-719-3243. 866-719-3243. It's going to be a wonderful tour, July 7th through the 20th. You'll get to see the slave dungeons. We'll get to see South Africa. We will visit where Nelson Mandela was kept imprisoned. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful tour. So join us. We need your deposit, and we will also be doing a drawing from those of you that have paid your deposit for one free trip with us to South Africa and Ghana. That number again is 866-719-3243. We are talking this morning to Sue Vaughn, director of Amnesty International Program to Abolish the Death Penalty, and David Elliott, Communications Director for the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty. And I would like to remind our audience that in 1972, Furman versus Georgia eliminated the death penalty. In 1976, Gregg versus Georgia, the death penalty returned. And in 1988, Thompson versus Oklahoma, the court decides that people younger than 16 when they committed a crime may not be executed. And in 1989, Stanford versus Kentucky, the justices upheld the constitutionality of executing juveniles older than 15. And I'd like to ask my guests, are we firm on this latest decision by the Supreme Court, or will we be back on this issue again?
Well, Liz, on the one hand, what the Supreme Court can give, the Supreme Court can take away. The slim possibility does exist that a future court, even more conservative than this one, could undo this historic decision. But that said, it's relatively rare for the U.S. Supreme Court to go backwards on Eighth Amendment cases, cruel and unusual punishment cases. So I think that you will never again see a juvenile offender executed in the United States.
Sue.
I agree with David, and I think the clarification needs to be made that in 1972, what Furman did was it did not abolish the death penalty or say that it was cruel and unusual. What it said was that the way in which the states administered the death penalty was unfair, and the states needed to get in line. I think this decision in Roper is much more unequivocal in that it just says that executing those who are under 18 constitutes cruel and unusual punishment. And, you know, while I do agree with David that, you know, there's a very slim possibility that, you know, something like this could be reverted, I really don't think that there'll be any going back. And moreover, I think, you know, within U.S. society and within the rest of the international community, this practice is so exceptional and so out of date that I really don't think that the United States, you know, wants to sort of go back to a place where it's, you know, categorized with some of the worst human rights offenders in the world. So I think in terms of, you know, trying to sort of reclaim its status as someone, as a country that does, you know, respect people's human rights, I think that this decision is going to stand.
So what's the next battleground? This was a concerted effort with a lot of organizations that are against the death penalty, the ceasing of the execution of juveniles. What's the next battlefront on those that are opposed to the death penalty? David.
Well, you know, Liz, as favorable as this ruling was, and it was quite favorable, quite historic, it is important to point out that the center of gravity for the anti-death penalty movement has really shifted from the steps of the Supreme Court to the state capitals. You've got organizers in Missouri, in other states, fighting for moratoriums, fighting for other types of reforms, fighting for abolition altogether. And that's where the action is going to be. You know, just yesterday evening, a legislative committee in Connecticut approved a bill abolishing the death penalty. Last week in New Mexico, the New Mexico House of Representatives approved a bill abolishing the death penalty. That bill now goes to the Senate for its consideration. And so we're going to see a state-by-state, you know, drawn-out battle where activists are getting organized and they're talking to their legislators, they're educating the public, and that's how, ultimately, the death penalty will be abolished in the U.S.
Here in Missouri, we have the sad situation where the very first thing that our young governor did when he was elected was to make the argument that we hadn't been killing enough people, and he wanted to step up the pace of our executions. And Sue, I go back to you.
Yeah, and I said, I mean, this is a very, you know, short-term political tactic that many politicians sort of use, but I think what David said is right. You know, on the one hand, you have the governor in Missouri, but on the other hand, you have the governor in Illinois, Governor Ryan, who, you know, saw, I think, you know, even people who are not sort of morally opposed to the death penalty, when they see the flaws in the system, and I think that's our next and our ongoing battle is to educate the public, is to educate legislators that, you know, the death penalty might, you know, one might not be morally opposed to the death penalty, but just the way it's administered can never, ever, ever be fair because it's administered by fallible human beings. And, you know, we've had, you know, over 100 people exonerated who came within minutes
of being executed in some cases.
Now, can either one of you answer this question for me, because we have about 30 seconds left here. Has there been an innocent person executed in the United States?
Liz, some experts believe that in what we call the modern era, the past quarter of a century, as many as 24 people, innocent people, have been executed. We don't have solid, absolute DNA-based proof of that. I think maybe in coming years we will. But certainly, as Sue has pointed out, the system is unfair, it's arbitrary, it's capricious, it must be abolished.
And Sue, I'd like you to give our audience your website where people can go and find more information about your organization and your efforts.
Thank you, Liz. The website is www.aiusa.org.
And David, your website, please.
It's www.ncadp.org. Again, that's ncadp.org.
Sue Vaughn, David Elliott, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call this morning.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Liz.
Stick around for the best of the Wake Up Call. That has been the best of the Wake Up Call. Up next, Keith Gray fills in for Liz Brown right here on AM 920 WGNU.
More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daniela Vellante. It's Black Friday, the busiest shopping day of the year. Crazed shoppers fighting over this year's most wanted gift at several Walmart stores across the country, including Philadelphia and Orlando, Florida. Customers began brawling after the retailer ran out of $350 laptop computers.
Pulling, you know, the boxes from other people's hands and start fighting over there. It's crazy.
Shoving and carrying on. And I mean, yelling and screaming.
They were throwing these laptops in the air, 20 feet in the air, and people were collapsing on each other to grab them. It was ridiculous.
Crowded but a little calmer in New York's Times Square, ABC's Sherry Preston is inside the multi-story Toys R Us.
Here at the Toys R Us store in Times Square, there were people lined up before the doors opened at 6 a.m. They were hoping to get bargains on Christmas presents.
We're racking up on Brat stuff, Hot Wheels, Cabbage Patch Kids.
Black Friday, traditionally the day retailers move into the black after operating in the red, has been the top day for sales only once in the past 5 years. Will it change this year? We'll have to see. Sherry Preston, ABC News at the Times Square Toys R Us.
Iraq's president reaches out to insurgents, but the most feared terrorists aren't willing to negotiate.
It appears some insurgents are considering the Iraqi president's offer of a meeting if they lay down their weapons. President Jalal Talabani said he would talk to the insurgents if they renounce terrorism. Four groups appear willing, but not the one led by Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. Al-Qaeda in Iraq is believed responsible for some of the worst terror attacks here.
ABC's Aaron Katursky in Baghdad. The two sisters hurt while watching the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade in New York City are out of the hospital. Macy's President Terry Lundgren promising to look at safety precautions.
Whatever can be done in the future to try to sort this out, guaranteed will be done, and we'll work closely with the city to see what it is that we can do.
The family says it will not sue. This is ABC News.
I'm an elf, so people ask me for holiday decorating tips. I send them to the Home Depot. Lights, trees, the works. But hurry, if Santa gets word you're dragging your feet on the decorating, well, he won't be jolly.
The Home Depot has the best prices of the season. For a limited time, a 7-foot lighted tree is only $39.98, and 70 light strands are just 99 cents each. Shop early for the best selection. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid through 11/27/05. See store for details.
Hello?
Mama, there's tons of holiday traffic. Can you suggest an alternate route?
Oh, I better ask your father. Now, Howard!
To make your holiday travel go smoothly, you want TomTom, not Mom.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Easily move from car to car. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way.
You have reached your destination.
Now through December 31st, get a $50 rebate. Learn more at TomTom.com. TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way.
What's in Michael Brown's future? The former director of FEMA, vilified for FEMA's response to Hurricane Katrina, is becoming a consultant.
Throw out this rule.
You got the jackpot.
There are plenty of consultants with track records of getting it right, but there's only one, Michael Brown.
You're riding high in April, shot down in May.
Make that September. Brown tells Colorado's Rocky Mountain News his consulting firm in the Boulder area will help clients avoid mistakes he made. Brown now says he actually did know about the crowded, desperate Louisiana Superdome 24 hours before appearing on TV, but misspoke because of lack of sleep.
I've been a puppet, a pauper.
As far as his previous experience being with Arabian Horse shows, Brown says with FEMA he handled four other hurricanes, and his career evolutions the American way. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
They're celebrating along the Gaza-Egypt border where a crossing has been opened which allows Palestinians to travel abroad freely for the first time since Israel occupied the area in 1967. I'm Daniela Bellotta.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, a Thanksgiving Eve murder in North St. Louis remains under investigation. Police say 40-year-old George Collins was shot to death late Wednesday night along the 4200 block of West Aldine. Collins was reportedly talking with the suspect prior to the shooting. No arrests have been made. Hallmark is trying to make the holiday season a little easier for everyone this year. To help with the holidays, Hallmark is sharing tips and ideas on decorating, gift ideas, and other things to help make this holiday season a memorable one. Innovations and Research Development Manager Steve Hess explains a few tips for handling your holiday card list this year.
Look at your holiday card list and see if it's bigger than it really needs to be. Giving one sentence bullets on each member of your family is one way that would make it easier for you to do that Christmas letter. You can also break the job up. So those are a few tips that I use.
Other tips for the holidays include creating a box or an ornament out of old holiday cards. Also, for the first time ever, Hallmark is coming out with their Holiday Home Contest, where three grand prize winners will be selected to receive a prize package and an in-home consultation by experts on decorating your home, throwing a party, or shopping for last-minute gifts. The Illinois Fighting Illini take on Wichita State this afternoon in the South Padre Island Invitational. Both teams are 3-0 heading into today's game. The Illini have won both previous meetings with the Shockers in their history. Game time is 3:30. Finally this hour, who says honesty is nowhere to be found these days? A Department of Water Resources employee is being hailed as a Good Samaritan after finding a large amount of cash and turning it over to his supervisors. The Sacramento Bee reports the unidentified employee found nearly $1,000 outside the DWR building and turned it in to a security guard. The employee supervisors are praising the man for his integrity and conscience. No one has claimed the money yet, and if it remains unclaimed for a two-week period, it will likely be given to the man that found it. The Good Samaritan has told his supervisors, though, that if that happens, he'll most likely give the money to charity. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by GM Certified Used Vehicles. When it comes to used car problems, GM Certified owners tend to forget what they are. To learn more and find a dealer near you, visit GMCertified.com or call 888-999-7880. GM Certified, no worries. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Walmart. Northbound 55 at the Poplar Street Bridge, there's an accident involving a tractor-trailer. It's partially overturned on the ramp, so use caution as you roll up to those areas. Eastbound 70 at Mid Rivers Mall, no problems there. Eastbound 44 between 109 and Lindbergh looks good. Westbound 255 from Gippsland Barracks Bridge all the way into Lee May Ferry, everything is on the move. Southbound 270 at Manchester, no problems there. Westbound 370 at St. Louis Mills, everything is on the move there. Westbound 370 between 270 and Elm, look for various lanes closed due to maintenance operations. Route 367 between 270 and Jamestown Road, New Jamestown Road, as a matter of fact. Traffic's been switched onto the outer roads as they're trying to convert 367 into an uninterrupted highway. Route 30 at Summit, there's bridge maintenance operations. Bermuda north of 70. Look for road widening is underway. Expect restrictions there, as well as northbound Keeneland at Natural Bridge. They're also widening that to four lanes. And east by 44 North Service Road between St. Clair and St. Clair Rest Areas, periodic lane closures going on as they're installing sewer lines there. And eastbound 30 at Route B, look for road construction reduced to one lane. And Illinois 158 at 64, look for bridge maintenance operations there, as well as Illinois 64 between Highway 50 and 158, various lanes closed due to road construction. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Walmart. Today, from 5 until 11 a.m. only, get up and get to your Walmart for unbeatable prices on the coolest gifts of the season. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Partly cloudy skies today, high in the lower 40s this evening, not quite as cool. Partly cloudy with a low in the mid-30s. Moving on to Saturday, breezy, not quite as cool. Cloudy, a chance of rain in the afternoon with a high in the mid-50s. Saturday evening, breezy, not as cool. Showers are likely to continue with a low in the upper 40s. And on Sunday, breezy, mostly cloudy, another chance for showers, even a possibility of a thunderstorm. The high should be in the mid-60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under very clear, crisp skies, we have 20 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 19, but the wind chill makes it feel like it's 12. That's a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Stick around, we'll have more traffic and weather at the bottom of the hour. Liz Brown is on vacation until Monday. However, we have Keith Gray filling in for Liz Brown. He's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Monday morning at 7, our guest is Latifa Lyles, membership vice president for the National Organization for Women. She'll be going over some documents that have come to light from Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito that indicate he may not be a justice women can count on. His remarks made during the Reagan era indicate he's likely to scale back women's rights and protection against employment discrimination, as well as tinker around with the Family and Medical Leave Act. A closer look at Judge Samuel Alito, Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Good morning, WGNU listeners. This is Keith Gray. I'm sitting in for Liz Brown on the morning wake-up call. You all probably know, or some of you probably know, my show is called Higher Ground. I'm on from 1 to 2 daily. I won't be on from 1 to 2 today because I'm sitting in for Liz Brown. And thank you for having me. It is an exciting morning because this is what I consider to be a hallowed ground to host a radio show. I'm working with one of the best, if not the best, engineer, Howard Morton, and I'm sitting in for Liz Brown. I don't know whether you could have better circumstances. Hopefully I can toe the line and pull my weight. That is my goal. Lots of things going on. Oh, it's cold outside. If you're going out, it is very deceptive because it looks beautiful. It is extremely cold. I came outside with, for those in the know, a kufi on my head, which is a small skull cap like hat and or a toboggan for those of you who know the hats as such. It is cold. I needed a real hat on my head. I'm the type of person who has to wear a hat. Exactly, Howard. Howard's putting on a hat now. I'm the type of person who has to have a hat on my head when it gets even below 50 degrees. I'm cold natured. I'm hot-blooded, cold natured, and I need to be covered. It's cold outside. So if you're going out shopping, today is Black Friday, which is basically the day that retailers are supposed to be in the black. They're supposed to be able to get out of the red as far as their sales go. So all of you people rushing out to these sales, dress warmly because it's deceptive. It's supposed to be warm later today, but as you know, you're in St. Louis. So do understand it's cold. And even though it could get warmer today, we all know St. Louis weather. It has the potential to get warm, but it is cold out there right now. The numbers to dial are 314-454-0400. The long distance number is 1-877-920-9468 or 1-877-920-WGNU. You can also get me on the internet at www.wgnu.net. I haven't sat in for 2 hours for a while, but it seems as I typically have a one-hour show during the day, but it seems like I never have enough time to, well, it didn't seem like I had enough time when I had 2 hours. It's amazing when someone gives you a forum to be able to expound upon your views and speak your mind. How much time is enough? And there never seems to be enough. With 1 hour, I'm looking for two. With 2 hours, I'm looking for more. So this is, again, a wonderful opportunity and couldn't be in better circumstances. And, again, hopefully I can pull my weight. Okay, let's talk about the news. You've got Mike Brown is getting some type of job. He's getting a new position. I did not catch the news. Hopefully it's not within the government. But he's getting a new job, and he is actually has the new job. He just hasn't started yet. But this is the former FEMA director. So I'm not sure what he's – hopefully it's with Thoroughbred Horses. If not, you know. Good luck to those who he's dealing with. Again, all types of situations in the news. In the St. Louis area, we have this Metrolink extension that's still being worked on. I believe, just got some new money for it. Basically, they're way over budget, way behind schedule, as some projects do, but it tends to be a big problem. It tends to be a big problem when it's a public-sponsored public project for the public benefit. Okay, I got some info on Mike Brown. He's going to be giving marketing advice. he's going to be giving marketing advice to avoid pitfalls that sunk his career in disaster preparedness, hopefully. That is ironic and scary. He's going to be doing disaster prepare. You know what? That's honestly speaking, that makes sense. Kind of. He's going to be giving disaster preparedness consultation with a disaster preparedness consultation company. The theory behind that, I'm guessing, is that he was the director of FEMA, and as the director of FEMA, you oversee disaster preparedness for the entire nation. But the problem is, just because you had the position doesn't mean that you learned anything in the position. But the implication is always going to be, if you had the job, you learned something. So, you know, there are probably going to be individuals. That actually makes sense, given the fact that there was this big disaster and the accompanying horrible response. It seems that he would probably not get a job in the field. But, again, connections are everything. I recently read an article speaking about education, and people think that education is the be-all, end-all to everything, and it is definitely a stepping stone, but information has much more of an impact on someone's life than the education that they have, because you have people who are not necessarily the brightest individuals, but are in extremely good positions because of the people that they know and the situations that those connections place them in. President Bush, I'm not a fan, but I think that given that if this guy were from a working class family, as Bill Clinton was, and as a number of presidents have been, I'm having a hard time believing that this guy would be president. But again, that's my opinion. What's yours? 314-454-0400 is the local number. The long distance number is 1-877-920-9468 or 1-877-920-WGNU. The internet, you can hear me on the internet at www.wgnu.net. Got a full day today on WGNU. Yesterday you had a full day of music, which I kind of tuned in and out on. It was some really good stuff being played yesterday. I was not surprised, but rather taken aback by the fact that WGNU was playing a lot of older, I expected older music, but I didn't expect older cool music, frankly speaking. There were some really cool songs being played yesterday. And initially, I thought it was going to be patriotic music for some reason. I remember, and that may have been for one of the other holidays. I think it was Veterans Day. They played a full day of patriotic music. But yesterday, it was some big band stuff. There was some jazz. I remember hearing, I tuned in at one period, there was some Billie Holiday songs. So, I mean, and I'm a fan. I love jazz, and it's amazing. One of the people that I admire most in the St. Louis area is a local jazz singer. Her name is Mae Wheeler, and she is a remarkable woman and a great jazz singer. But I was surprised by the WGNU background yesterday and background music. War is still going on in Iraq. Still at the same. I'm waiting to see a deceleration of the events in Iraq. This stuff has been going on for just under 2 years, and it doesn't seem to be abating at any point. The attacks seem to be coming more frequently. The suicide bombings seem to be more frequently occurring, and American soldiers are dying in the process. Yet we still get this continuous rhetoric about progress in the struggle. And granted, there have been elections, but we don't know the level of efficacy of these elections. We don't know who was voting. We saw pictures of individuals voting several times, and I'm guessing that if they let it get on film for American audiences, it was probably more prevalent than just one individual voting six times. I'm a firm believer in the pullout strategy, not necessarily turning and running, but I like the fact that John Murtha stood up, and I've spoken about this on my own show, that people need to understand the gravity of that particular incident. John Murtha is historically a war hawk. He is a former he's a Vietnam veteran, decorated Vietnam veteran. And no one, unlike John Kerry, no one disputes the veracity of his injuries or his heroism. No one disputes it. He is universally known as a hero. He is universally known as an expert. And this is an individual who consistently has come down on the side of going to war and the U.S. standing tall, and he still feels that way, but this is a situation that he feels is untenable, and he is not the first. He is just the most prominent. I'm going to go to the phone lines and talk to you, WGNU listeners. Again, my name is Keith Gray. I'm sitting in for Liz Brown on the morning wake-up call, and I could not be happier. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to you. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine.
All right.
Look, I enjoyed our talk maybe about a week ago.
Okay.
And really, I'm just calling you to talk on the fly. It wasn't really too many points of entrance that I heard you talk about that I wanted to discuss, but you mentioned something about two things, and I'm just going to ask you about it.
Okay.
You know, you said you were listening yesterday.
Yes.
And you were expecting, you know, more or less patriotic. Well, no, you didn't say that.
No.
But it was a couple songs that were of interest to you that kind of surprised you. What was one of the songs?
I don't recall the song, but I definitely recognize the voice as Billie Holiday.
Okay.
And I was tuning in and out during that periodically throughout the day because I was doing a lot, kind of not a lot, but a fair amount of scrambling yesterday because I had to, I actually spent Thanksgiving at my brother's house and had to pick up my daughter and went to get ice cream and forgot something at the house. So I was intermittently in the car because, I don't know how Thanksgiving celebrations go at your place or at anyone's place. But for us, it's, you know, eat until you're full, take a nap, and then wake up and catch intermittent spurts of a football game or whatever is on television at the time. It's a day of relaxation. And I was in the car and I heard the Billie Holiday song. I think I heard a Frank Sinatra. I heard definitely a Frank. Again, I don't recall songs. I specifically, which is odd because I'm a singer.
Well,
but I heard Frank Sinatra and Billie Holiday. And there was a Billy Eckstein song, which you never hear unless you have Billy Eckstein songs. There was a Billy Eckstein song. Just a couple of different things.
Right. Well, I don't know. I was just kind of interested in what type of person I was talking to. You get an insight on what a person likes to basically tell something about them. But, you know, when you mention something about that, I don't know, you know, yesterday you were looking for a certain type of music. Well, in a sense, you were right. They could have played music that would rally a certain group of the majority of Americans around Thanksgiving.
Okay, I understand that. Well, and I think they did. I want
you to get my point.
I kind of do, but here's one. Here's
I didn't make my point. Yet.
Well, hey, okay, well, let me give a different perspective just real quickly. They could have played patriotic music, and they did do that on Veterans Day, and that was my only impetus for thinking that they were going to play patriotic music. I had no idea
kind of
music.
We differ then.
Okay.
Because I think they could have played it dealing with what most people recognize as Thanksgiving.
Okay. What kind of music is Thanksgiving
You know,
music?
One of the things about it, when one looks at the history of that, I don't know. I look at it in such a negative way because I look at truthful renditions of history.
Okay.
You know, the things about it, you don't have to be a historian to know about the Wampanoags or Chief Massasoit that Massachusetts is named after, or how they cut off his head and just had it on a pole in Plymouth for about 24 years.
Sounds
to look at that, it was George Washington, the first president, that just stated that, look, we're going to celebrate this thing that we call Thanksgiving only once a year, based on people were celebrating it after a successful massacre of so-called indigenous people. So, you know, and then later on you got Abraham Lincoln coming up with making it a holiday, and then Roosevelt basically saying, well, okay, we're going to do like we normally do.
Okay.
We're going to make this thing where people can make some money.
Okay,
and
I got to
change it from the 30th to the 25th, give them a few more days.
If you even consider that today is called Black Friday because it's based on shopping, a lot of holidays have been changed exclusively to benefit retailers. But a real quick point was that I was thinking of was, do you celebrate Thanksgiving?
No,
I mean,
is like most conscious Africans do. They just utilize it, you know,
use
for a day.
It's a day. For us, it's a day of rest.
Well,
we take a break.
For me, it's just a day where basically I get a chance to talk to some relatives or some people that normally would be working at that time. It's very unfortunate that it's like that for a lot of African people here in the United States, but we find ourselves, some people unconsciously celebrate almost their own Holocaust. Let me ask you this before I get off here.
Go ahead.
Have you ever read this book, African People, European Holidays, and Mental Genocide by Barashango?
I have not.
Have you ever heard of
it? I've heard of that book, I believe.
Okay. You know what? I'll tell you what. One thing, it's one thing to be in form of a Eurocentric thought,
mm-hmm.
but for African, I think it's essential, important to develop and rediscover, take that Sankofa experience and learn something about yourself, because that way you don't find yourself and your people imitating other people, because what most black people do, they're engaged in this process of individualism, and not having a race first philosophy is almost, it's just insane.
Well, and I don't know if
would
you've
it be
ever.
A but to
no, let me speak to that, because you've spoken about a number of things, and if you've heard me on the radio, you said we've spoken off the air, so you have an idea of where some sensibility of where I'm coming from in this regard. I absolutely believe that there needs to be a more concerted effort among African American people, but by the same token, it's going to have to come from our community. It's
of course,
not going.
I'm not
it's
advocating
not,
it does.
It's not going
and
to come
I'm not
from,
saying that you are not.
No, no. But what I'm saying is
stating a fact.
Indeed. But what I'm saying is, it's going to have to come from our community. And you mentioned that there are a large number of African Americans who are in working class situations. They have to take the days like Thanksgiving and Christmas and take those days and basically take the day off from work because they're given the day off from work. That's the majority. That's the rule and not the exception.
The problem is many of those people that are consciously celebrating, in some cases, in their own Holocaust.
Hang on real quick, David.
I'm pointing this out to you.
Okay, but what I'm saying, what I'm saying here too is that I think we should not read the fact that these people are taking Thanksgiving off because they get it off work and celebrating the pilgrims.
Why shouldn't we look at it in a very conscious way?
Because if we're looking at it in that way, we may be discounting the fact that these people are just celebrating the opportunity to be together.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something, and I just want to be straightforward with you. I think that, you know, you could say that, but I think to say that is somewhat of a mistake, because just like if you would say that about Christmas, if you say that about looking at the holidays that revolve around Europeans' so-called experience in religion, you know, it is dealing with a absence of knowing thyself and knowing what creativity that we gave to the world, and to adopt other people's culture
and practice it, I would agree, is
somewhat shows that you definitely don't know self. So I disagree with you.
Okay. And I disagree with the concept of blanketing an entire race of people.
I didn't blanket. I made it very clear that there are some conscious people. Are you one of them?
I am definitely one of them. But by the same token,
why would you defend the unconscious?
No. I'm not defending the unconscious.
Like you would take this program.
I'm not defending
this hour,
David,
or 2 hours,
David,
and try to inform.
Indeed.
And not engage in an argument with me about something
that
people should know.
No, not engaging in an argument with you. But again,
here is the but. Okay.
We are not going to blanket on any radio program that I am.
I said I didn't do that.
But what you say and what you actually do are two different things. You're saying that you haven't done it, but you're doing it.
No, I already said, sir, there are some conscious people.
Again, but that's like a caveat.
That's
blanketing virtually everybody. That's like a caveat. Most of them is what we're saying.
Okay, man.
We're going back and forth, David. Thanks for the call.
No, we're not going back and forth. I understand your point.
Okay. Thanks for the call. How you doing this morning, Chuck? Chuck, I got to move on. All right, this is Keith Gray sitting in for Liz Brown on Radio Free St. Louis AM 920 on the Wake Up Call. We'll be right back after this traffic and commercial break. Let the Murder City Players take you out.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Comtrax. Northbound 55 at Poplar Street Bridge is an accident involving a tractor trailer partially blocking it's overturned and it's partially blocking the ramp. Eastbound 44 between 109 and Lindbergh, look for no problems to report there. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge all the way into Lee May Ferry looks good. Westbound 370 at St. Louis Mills, nothing to report there. Westbound 370 at 270 and Elm, there's road maintenance operations in both directions, Route 30 Gravoy between Lindbergh and Grand. Look for road construction having various lanes closed going on there. Bermuda north of 70, road widening is underway. There are some restrictions as well as northbound Keeneland at Natural Bridge. And then moving over to the east side, 158 to 64, there's bridge maintenance operations, and 64 between 50 and 158, there's road construction. Various lanes will be closed throughout the day, as well as 159 between Illinois 162 and the 5570. Look for road construction during the night, so that should be easing up now. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Comtrax. Comtrax Deep Chest Cold has the ingredients specifically designed to break up stubborn chest congestion and relieve sore throats and coughing. Comtrax knocks out every kind of cold symptom.
Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Partly cloudy skies today, high in the lower 40s this evening, not quite as cool. Partly cloudy with a low in the mid-30s. Saturday, breezy, cloudy, a chance of rain with a high in the mid-50s. Saturday evening, breezy. Showers are likely to continue with a low in the upper 40s. And then on Sunday, breezy, mostly cloudy, a chance for showers and a possible thunderstorm. They're calling for a high around the mid-60s on Sunday. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under sunny skies, we have 23 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 22. The wind chill makes it feel like it's 14 outside. Great day for shopping, staying inside, and buying up everything. Liz Brown is on vacation. Until then, we have Keith Gray filling in for her. He's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? It's the day after Thanksgiving, and you know what that means. The biggest sales day of the year. That's right, from 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. at Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. Wonderful sales going on. The first 25 customers get a $10 off gift card. 20-inch Sylvania flat-screen televisions, $89.99. Portable DVD players, $89.99. 51-inch Toshiba high-definition television sets, $899.99. 20% off of all regular price Kenmore appliances. That and so much, much, much more. You don't have to take out a bank loan to fill up your tank and go to the mall to check out a Sears right here in your neighborhood, in your community. Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. Sears, get your shop on.
Need to get it off your chest? 314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, the cure for the common cause.
Build a bird feeder at the Augustine Bush Conservation Area, 2360 Highway D in St. Charles on Saturday, November 26th from 9 to noon. All materials will be provided or you may bring your own tools. One bird feeder per family, youths under 13 must attend with an adult. Class size is limited and reservations are required. To register, call 636-441-4554. Something for the birds from Radio Free St. Louis.
Next, on Mondays at 9, a visit with director Robert Greenwald on his new movie, Walmart, The High Cost of Low Prices. It takes you behind the smiley face and into the real lives of workers and families, business owners, and their communities, providing an in-depth look at the company's labor practices, poor benefits, and harsh working conditions. In addition, journalist Liza Featherstone, who wrote the book Selling Women Short, The Battle for Workers' Rights at Walmart, will also be joining us. Her book examined the historic lawsuit by 1.5 million female workers against the company, and how it helped change company policies toward women. Another can't-miss episode of The Wake-Up Call on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
Welcome back, WGNU listeners. This is Keith Gray sitting in for Liz Brown on the morning wake-up call. Welcome back. 314-454-0400 is the local number. The long-distance number is 1-877-920-9468 or 1-877-920-WGNU. You can also hear me on the Internet at www.wgnu.net. Following this program, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. to 12 noon, you'll get From a Cop's View with Gary Wiegert. From 12 p.m. to 2 p.m., it's, well, something to be announced. I'm not sure what that's going to be. From 2 to 4 p.m., it's Take on the Day with Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Following Dr. Laura will be Take on Today's Solutions with Dave Linehan. And from 6 to 8 p.m., it's Sports Overdrive with Vicky Pimentel and Brian Stull. It's amazing to me. It always amazes me how vehement a discussion can become when two people are essentially agreeing. It tends to be, it's been my experience that most arguments that you get into or most discussions when they start to get heated tend to get heated when people disagree on degree of what they're discussing. It's rarely a complete difference of opinion. It tends to be the degree of commitment or the degree to which someone is referring to a situation. I firmly believe that there are no blanket statements. I think that on holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas, when people have an opportunity to get off, I think it is specifically for African American people, because I think you would find it hard to find. I think you would find it extremely difficult to go to any African American home, even though they're eating turkey, and discuss with them the foundation of the Thanksgiving holiday and have them say, "That's what I believe." Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to you, WGNU listeners. My name is Keith Gray, and I'm talking to TC. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to
How are you.
Glad you're there, young brother. As you mentioned, you and Brother Day, I think you both was basically saying the same thing, but a lot of people think that their degree of consciousness should be your degree of consciousness.
Well, also, I think it's another factor there is that as you said, they think that their degree of consciousness, but also their degree of consciousness about a specific topic. I have extremely strong convictions and beliefs about certain activities within the African American community. I don't think personally that the fact that we have an Annie Malone's Children's Home that is in constant need of people to come in and tutor students. I don't think the fact that we have young African American males walking the streets who need constant guidance or who need guidance, who need male figures in their lives, who need mentoring, so to speak. And I'm not talking about mentoring programs, because those tend not to deal with the young brothers that are standing on the corners that are in my neighborhood that I talk to, not frequently, but frequently enough to where I know what's going on with them. Those people don't get addressed.
Everybody can do something in their own way. Maybe the way you do something as far as helping somebody might not be the same thing that TC, but everybody can do something. I think basically what it is that more black people know the true story of Thanksgiving than a lot of people think.
Sure.
Most black people know the true story of Abraham Lincoln and so-called freeing of the slave. Most
right.
black people know that Lincoln himself said whatever it took
to save the Union.
To keep the Union together.
To save
that means
the Union.
Keeping black folks in slavery or letting slavery expand to the West or sending black folks back or whatever. He would have done whatever it took. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, slavery.
I think a lot of black people know that more than people give us credit.
Well, see, but history and the way it's written, and it's dictated by, you know, a certain contingency.
You got
history
it.
Dictates that we look at these things in a more Hollywood type of fashion. So we know this. I mean, and that's known in our community. And here's another aspect of it that I did not address. There are certain things that individuals say about certain communities that I may agree with and I may disagree with. But there are certain things that you will probably never hear Keith Gray discuss on the radio. There are certain things that I believe, and you and ITC have spoken about this on a number of occasions. You have to have what I call the meeting after. My father used to call the meeting after
the
meeting. There's a meeting after the meeting. There's always got to be a meeting after the meeting. And those are the specific. You never reveal. My mom used to say, always wear clean underwear. But even if you don't wear clean underwear, make people think you're wearing clean
there
underwear.
There you go.
So,
also, and let's get back to politics, which is one of my favorite subjects. You mentioned, what's the clown name, Mike Brown?
Yes.
That's what you call affirmative action for Caucasian men. That's what you call that good old boy hookup that I've always talked about. That's what you talk about, an unqualified person who had a job nowhere in the world.
That he should have
Mike
had.
Brown was qualified for that job at the head of FEMA. And the list would go on and on and on. That's what I talk about, competition. That's what I talk about
Well, I mean, if you look at the fact that we have a president who has difficulty. I mean, frankly speaking, and I've said this on the air and I'll stand by this. I think George Bush is the poster boy for why we need affirmative action programs. He is the prototype for why affirmative action programs are necessary, and they need to be effective affirmative action programs.
And,
hear
but
people?
When the only thing about that, you know, I'm like, there's nothing wrong with honest discussion. There's nothing wrong with you and me disagreeing. There's nothing wrong with me and a Caucasian male host disagreeing. There's nothing wrong with this. I like honest discussion.
I do, too.
But when I hear somebody talking about affirmative action, who don't look like TC, by the way, and they don't mention Caucasian females,
yeah,
right there, that's telling me that it's really an attack on black people.
Well, that's
because
the
affirmative action includes Caucasian females, who is the most populous in the country, and it includes every other group of American taxpayers who haven't been included in this American dream, in the sense that the reason it came about, and those same people, they never bring up the discussions why affirmative action is there. And one thing that is tricky, and I think it's in the news now.
But real quick, the fact that affirmative action programs include white women is by design. Okay, it's by design.
Put two or three lines under that. Yeah. It was by design.
Yeah, it was by design. That's what I said. It was by design. And it's not so that Caucasian females can get an opportunity. It's so that Caucasian males can use them to get an opportunity. And in deference to women, there are some magnificent women business people. But by the same token, this program was not created. This program was not, the overture towards Caucasian females was not made with their best interests in mind, in my belief.
Yeah, because you can go back to what's happening, I think, in this Hazelwood School District with this minority contractor. Now, you can have minority contractors and still have a very limited amount of minority workers.
Yes, sir.
And I think we found that out in the past with that minority contractor, where you had Caucasian females who were, I guess, fronting for other folks. You had black people who were really fronting from other folks. You had Hispanic people who was really fronting from somebody else owned the majority of the company.
Okay,
so but minority contracting.
Okay.
You got to be careful. And somebody says
but
something.
Also,
Colin Powell said something about boots on the ground.
Uh-huh.
So in that same sense, you just don't want to see minority contractors. You want to see minority
workers. Yes,
and the key to that is the fact that even today, now, don't get me wrong, Caucasian females, just like our females, have been disadvantaged,
mm-hmm.
and it has been done intentionally. Because even today, even doing the same job, even with more experience, even with more education, Caucasian females still make 74 to 76 cents on a dollar that their Caucasian male counterpart makes. And so if Caucasian females only making 74 cents, you know our females are making even less. I'm talking about doing the exact same job in the exact same profession, even with more experience. So it's definitely a need, and I'll say this as long as I've got breath in my body, I think people might disagree, but all you have to do is look at the record and look what's going on today. You ain't got to go back 50 years. I think a lot of Caucasian, not some, I think a lot of Caucasian males are afraid to compete with other citizens of this country. And that is the bottom line. That's why you got all these artificial barriers still in 2005. That's another reason why General Motors is in the trouble it is in, because you got that same good old boy network.
And that's where I was going to go. I think that it's definitely the fear thing, I think, is a component of it. But I think more of a component is the maintaining the level of control.
And let me make this last point.
Okay, and I need to go to commercial.
I think this country, from the top to the bottom, ain't no doubt in my mind, would be a much better country on a public level, on a private level, if you had more females, black and white, you had more Hispanic people, you had more people that look like you and me, all up and down this society. When you get the same old people over and over and over again, you get the same old problem. And Brown is a perfect example. This guy you got in the White House who gave the impression that he was a good old boy from the South is a New England. Folks
yes,
don't even know that his grandfather, Prescott Bush, was a senator from Maine, I think.
Man, let me talk.
Great-grandfather, you can go all the way back with these folks, man.
Let me talk about that out there. Thanks for the call, T.C.
You and your family had a nice holiday.
You
and
too,
like
man.
You said, most black people are using these holidays just for that.
That's it.
A holiday from work, bro.
There you go.
All
thanks
right,
for the call. All right, that was this is Keith Gray on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. I'm sitting in for Liz Brown on the morning wake-up call. I will be right back after this traffic and commercial break.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Baghdad. An important witness for the prosecution in the case of Saddam Hussein has died. Word has surfaced that Wada Ismail al-Sheikh died in late October after his testimony had been recorded on audio and videotape to be used in the trial. He was a senior intelligence official when the Nujail massacre took place in 1982, which is what Saddam and seven other co-defendants are being charged with war crimes for. Earlier this month, two lawyers on Saddam's defense team were assassinated. Al-Sheikh was said to have died of cancer. And Dateline Carbondale. The Department of Justice is threatening action against the Southern Illinois University System, alleging it has violated the Civil Rights Act of 1964. This lawsuit is problematic because it's targeting only a few scholarships that were set up specifically for the benefit of minority students. But the Justice Department says the scholarships in question show a pattern or practice of discrimination against whites, non-preferred minorities, and males. The three programs that the government says are racist are the following. Bridges to the Doctorate. It provides funds to help underrepresented minority students do graduate work in science, technology, engineering, and math. The second is called Proactive Recruitment and Multicultural Professionals for Tomorrow. This program is designed to increase the number of minority students getting advanced degrees in areas that they are few in. And the last one is called Graduate Deans. This program is for women and other underrepresented students who have worked to overcome social, cultural, or economic conditions. The Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department is the party bringing the complaint. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
For all of your embroidery and digitizing needs, be sure to visit Pro Shirt Shop in South County. Whether for the bowling league or uniforms at work, let Pro Shirt Shop show you why they're an award-winning industry leader for more than the last 10 years. T-shirts, jackets, hats, carry bags, even a personalized gift for the holidays. Pro Shirt Shop can do it all, and they'll even help you create a logo if needed. Pro Shirt Shop, 816 Lime Ferry Road, or call 638-8631 for Pro Shirt Shop today.
Monday morning at 7, our guest is Latifah Lyles, Membership Vice President for the National Organization for Women. She'll be going over some documents that have come to light from Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito that indicate he may not be a justice women can count on. His remarks made during the Reagan era indicate he's likely to scale back women's rights and protection against employment discrimination, as well as tinker around with the Family and Medical Leave Act. A closer look at Judge Samuel Alito, Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
All right, welcome back, WGNU listeners. Man, I have definitely gotten an affinity for this. I mean, I've always liked reggae music. I like reggae clubs and stuff because it's just a real cool atmosphere. But this stuff has just got me mellowed out, man. I mean, and I've gone to the restaurant. It's a Caribbean Sun restaurant, and it's just outside of University City. It's within the city limits, I believe, but it's on Olive Street Road. Nice place, man, and great food. And again, they have premium nights, great atmosphere. They have the Murder City Players, who are the band you just heard, playing there pretty regularly. And then they have other reggae groups coming in intermittently. And it's a really nice atmosphere. I believe Wednesday night is ladies' night. So it's a nice time, man. Anyway, I'm going to go back to the phone lines and talk to you. Oh, TC mentioned something that I thought I should expand upon. He mentioned the fact that American society would be so much better if we had people of different ethnicities, people of different sexes, people of different origins dispersed throughout American society, because in more equal amounts, because that's not the case today. And if you look at the ideal that America tries to perpetuate to the world of itself, if you look at what American history is based upon, if you are not necessarily the history, but the thought of the history, and when you read the history books, if you look at those ideals, that's what American society is supposed to be. American society is supposed to be, and I use this term because I've heard it growing up. I heard it growing up. But American society is supposed to be a melting pot. But we all know that doesn't exist. American society is supposed to be the great American melting pot. And it doesn't exist, because you have a small contingency of individuals. I believe it's 70 or 80% of the wealth in the country is owned by something like 7 or 8% of the people. Those individuals want to maintain a certain portrait of society, a certain characteristic in society, and they do it. And they do it by manipulation of those who aspire in society. Well, let's go back to the phone lines and talk to you, WGNU listeners. Good morning, Motorcycle Man.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. I hope you're doing as well. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
It was good.
Excellent. You know, I think you hit the nail on the head, both you and TC. I think that there's this myth to those that buy the myth of that America is supposed to be the melting pot of the world, like you said, and we know it's not.
Yeah.
And here's the thing that I think you're going to find fascinating, is I pay attention to human behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And when I watch the news media and how they move Christmas up closer and closer, and they've commercialized
yes,
it
sir.
And turned it into such a money-making thing, I think of sheep being herded to the slaughter. When you see people that are willing to line up, and once again, I'm just making an observation. I'm not bad-mouthing. I'm not knocking nobody.
Yes.
It's just an observation. We're lining up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning to freeze it to death to get a Tickle Me Elmo or a Cabbage Patch doll or some kind of Xbox, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
To me, how is it that when you run your credit cards up and you fall into this commercialization of Thanksgiving and Christmas, and you're going dead up to your neck, and it's like a frenzy that you've been programmed into to run to the malls, to spend your money, going dead up to your neck. Now,
not only that, but the safety mechanisms are being removed
right.
in a very meticulous fashion. They just did this bankruptcy thing.
Hey, you segued into that perfect.
I think
the point, you stole my thunder.
Okay.
That's exactly what I was getting ready to
it's
say.
It's amazing.
And you're right. And what it is that if you don't pay off your balance, and if you just send the minimal,
mm-hmm.
they're making out like a loan shark does.
And that's,
I mean,
they're
getting over like a big dog.
That's another point that I wanted to address. How is it that there are virtually every state, probably with the exception of, you know, gambling states,
right.
Nevada and New Jersey with
yeah.
Atlantic City, but I would think that every virtually, and I'm going to do some research on this because I'm not certain, but virtually every state has usury laws, which are basically extreme interest laws,
yep.
laws that say you can't charge interest. But every credit card company charges upwards of 15 to 20%.
Oh, and guess what? Since you brought that up, let you miss a payment, there's a $29 to $30 fee, late fee, because you didn't pay on time or something. You might have missed one payment.
Which, if you figure into the interest rate, kicks the interest rate up considerably again.
Oh, and here's something else good. This is good information. I didn't learn this till later on in life, so I admit I was a little naive about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if most people would put an extra $50 in every house payment,
yeah.
you could pay your house off in 15 years, but
as
it's what you don't know
yeah.
that if you put that little extra principle, because a partner of mine taught me, but I learned late.
Mm-hmm.
But, it, you know, and it's just what you don't know about the system
yeah.
and how the system is rigged, you can get yourself in a whole lot of mess. And last but not least, what I wanted to ask you is how many other states or cities do you know of that have 50 different police departments that they call a city, and it looks like a kangaroo court in somebody's house, but they call it, like, let's say, Velda City or this city or that city. And really, a city is like Chicago, New York, or L.A.
Sure.
I've never been anywhere in my life where popping up a police department in a subdivision is such a money-making scheme.
Oh, yeah.
And you have so many of them, and whoever passed the law in this state that you could just pop up a police department wherever and be predatorial. I mean, it's one thing if a person is doing something wrong, if they're drunk or they run a red light. Okay, I can understand that.
Sure.
But they had a special on Channel 9 where there's one municipality that wouldn't even let the news come in there because they got such a racket. And when you check the books on how much money they rake in, and it's just like where I live, you go down there on court night in Moline Acres, it's 99% black.
Oh.
And, I mean, they got a line out the door.
I had a...
Man, I can tell you something to scare you.
I know. I started playing a game with my daughter when we ride along because she goes to a school to where basically they don't discount racial activities, racial beliefs or anything, but they don't play that stuff up. And she goes to school. There are some white kids at her school. But we were talking once in the car, and I made the comment about when you pull over, when you see a police officer who's pulled over a driver on the street. And what I had her doing, was I said that my own personal experience.
I got you.
And I told her that every time you see a car pulled over, count the black people and count the white people. And she came up with a figure that was approximately 7 out of 10 times that you have African-American people pulled over as opposed to white people. And thanks for the call, Motorcycle Man. But I had her do that because I wanted her to see just the fact that this situation exists. It's not something that daddy's making up, and by no means am I a racist, but I'm definitely an observer, and specifically an observer of life. This is Keith Gray. I'm sitting in for Liz Brown on the Radio Free St. Louis AM 920 WGNU. This is the Morning Wake Up Call. I will be right back after this top of the news traffic and commercial break.
Where are you?
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daniela Bellotta. Shoppers slug it out for early bird specials at several Walmart stores across the country, including one in Philadelphia.
Rabid shoppers nearly knocked down the doors of the Walmart in South Philadelphia to go in for the early morning bargains. Cassie Duke says waiting in the cold for 3 hours and near 0 degree wind chills is worthwhile.
Because of the prices, it's definitely worth it. When you're trying to save and get what your kid needs, it's definitely worth it.
People are buying video games, laptop computers, and plasma screen televisions. Tom McDonald, ABC News, Philadelphia.
Prefer giving gift cards? If so, ABC's Elizabeth Leamy says there are some things you and the person you're giving it to should know.
Most gift cards expire. They either have a hard deadline or they lose value over time. Usually after about a year and a half, it's not good for anything anymore. Read the fine print, make sure it's a decent deal, and if the gift card does have an expiration date, jot a note to the recipient just letting them know about the deadline.
An ABC News poll finds Americans will spend some $200 more than they did last year. Cindy Sheehan isn't giving up.
Crawford, Texas is getting a second helping of Cindy Sheehan, the activist who ignited the anti-war movement by camping near the president's vacation home in August.
We're here to say that we're going to be here until the killing stops.
Sheehan is joining a group of protesters who sang peace songs and ate what they called a traditional Iraqi meal for Thanksgiving. They did not interrupt the president's holiday. He called troops in Afghanistan and Iraq to thank them for their service.
ABC's Jessica Yellen in Crawford, Texas. Actor Pat Morita, best known for his role as Mr. Miyagi in The Karate Kid, has died. Morita died yesterday in his Las Vegas home of natural causes. His first rise to fame was when he played Arnold on Happy Days. He was 73. This is ABC News.
I'm an elf, so people ask me for holiday decorating tips.
I sent them to the Home Depot. Lights, trees, the works. But hurry, if Santa gets word you're dragging your feet on the decorating, well, he won't be jolly.
The Home Depot has the best prices of the season. For a limited time, a 7-foot lighted tree is only $39.98, and 70 light strands are just 99 cents each. Shop early for the best selection. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid through 11-27-05. See store for details.
Hello?
Mom, there's tons of holiday traffic. Can you suggest an alternate route?
Oh, I better ask your father. Now, Howard!
To make your holiday travel go smoothly, you want TomTom, not Mom.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Easily move from car to car. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way.
You have reached your destination.
Now through December 31st, get a $50 rebate. Learn more at TomTom.com. TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way.
Safety experts think they know why a Chicago commuter train smashed into several cars Wednesday.
30 years ago, a little girl died at the same crossing in Elmwood Park. A sign was put up, long crossing, do not stop on tracks. Officials say it appears people ignored the sign, driving onto the tracks even though there was no room for them yet on the other side. When the signal sounded and the gates came down, there was just no place for the cars to go, and they were trapped. Drivers had just 54 seconds to get out of their cars. Most did, though at least one woman was pulled from a burning wreck that had been dragged 100 feet down the tracks. Gil Gross, ABC News.
The U.S. Chamber of Commerce is recommending the federal government tax hybrids and bill drivers by the mile to put money back into the Highway Trust Fund, which is close to running on empty. Soccer icon George Best has died in London after years of alcohol abuse and a playboy lifestyle. He was a star in the 60s and 70s for Manchester United in Northern Ireland. He was 59. I'm Daniela Bellotta, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, a teenager is in custody in connection with a hit-and-run accident that injured a 6-year-old girl in South St. Louis. Police say the child was crossing Merrimack at Alexander on November 7th when she was struck by a passing car. The 16-year-old boy has been charged with leaving the scene of an accident. The girl survived. An old method for treating sinus problems might be the best remedy. That's according to a recent study which reports that nasal washing is a beneficial method for relieving sinus misery. Dr. Diane Heatley, otolaryngologist and president of Med Systems, Inc., explains that this involves instilling a saline or saltwater solution into the nose and out the other side of the nose, which washes away debris and drainage.
Getting rid of all of the thick secretions in your nose really gets to the root of the problem that people have with their sinuses, which is that the nose being stuffed up is no longer effectively filtering what it's supposed to be filtering out of the air we breathe.
This treatment is available over-the-counter at most pharmacies. The study is published in this month's issue of Otolaryngology, Head and Neck Surgery. While shopping malls around the country brace themselves for Black Friday, online retailers are getting ready for what they call Cyber Monday. Patty Freeman Evans, retail analyst for Jupiter Research, says Cyber Monday comes because shoppers go online Thanksgiving Day to decide what they're going to buy, then shop the stores Thanksgiving weekend to compare prices, and then buy online Monday. Freeman says, according to their study, holiday shopping over the web this year is expected to generate around $26 billion in sales, an 18% increase from the holiday season of 2004. She says one of the reasons for the expected increase is that more people will be shopping online for the first time. Freeman says one of the reasons why people are shopping online is the incentive of free shipping, especially since gas prices are higher this year. Finally this hour, people hitting the road for the Thanksgiving holiday weekend should save a few bucks on gas. This week's Metro Source Price at the Pump survey shows the national average for regular unleaded is down 9 cents a gallon. The national average is now $2.19, which is 73 cents lower than it was 7 weeks ago. It's nearly a dollar less per gallon than its peak of $3.08 in September after Hurricanes Katrina and Rita struck. Despite the dive, the national average remains 24 cents higher than this time last year. This week's average for premium unleaded is down a dime to $2.38. The nation's lowest price is now in Kansas City, where drivers pay $1.90. Louisville and Oklahoma City are tied for second, followed by Indianapolis, St. Louis, and Grand Rapids, Michigan, which are all tied for third. For the second straight week, Los Angeles is home to the nation's highest price, with drivers paying $2.56 a gallon. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Goodyear. Now through November 26th, enjoy savings on select Goodyear tires during the Goodyear Sale-a-thon. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR for details and the retailer nearest you. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 8 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Walmart. Northbound 55 at Poplar Street Bridge. Look for an accident involving a tractor trailer. It's partially blocking the off-ramp, so use caution as you roll up to those areas. Apparently, it's overturned. Eastbound 44 between 109 and Lindbergh, no problems reported. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge all the way into Lemay Ferry. Look for normal traffic. Southbound 270 at Manchester, no problems there. Westbound 370 at St. Louis Mills, everything is on the move. Westbound 370 between 270 and Elm, look for road maintenance operations. In both directions, 141 between Bowles and Gravois. Look for road maintenance operations. One lane will be closed throughout the day. Eastbound 30 at Summit. Look for bridge maintenance operations. Left lane is closed. Bermuda, north of 70. Look for road widening going on, so expect restrictions there, as well as northbound Keeneland at Natural Bridge. Look for them to be widening the road to four lanes. In both directions, 143 between 67 and Illinois Route 3 over on the Illinois side. Look for paving operations going on. 61 between Route A and 55. They're resurfacing, so expect lane closures there as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Walmart. Today from 5 to 11 a.m. only, get up and get out to your Walmart store for unbeatable prices on the coolest gifts of the season. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Partly cloudy today, high in the lower 40s this evening. Not quite as cool, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-30s. Saturday, breezy, cloudy, a chance of rain in the afternoon, a high in the mid-50s. Saturday evening, breezy, showers likely to continue with a low in the upper 40s. And on Sunday, breezy, mostly cloudy, a chance for showers, even a possible thunderstorm. They're calling for a high in the mid-60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under clear skies, we have a crisp 23 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 21, but the wind chill makes it feel like it's 12. Liz Brown will return to the studio on Monday. Until then, we have Keith Gray filling in for her right here up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the top of the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Monday morning at 7, our guest is Latifah Lyles, Membership Vice President for the National Organization for Women. She'll be going over some documents that have come to light from Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito that indicate he may not be a justice women can count on. His remarks made during the Reagan era indicate he's likely to scale back women's rights and protection against employment discrimination, as well as tinker around with the Family and Medical Leave Act. A closer look at Judge Samuel Alito, Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
All right, welcome back, WGNU listeners. This is Keith Gray sitting in for Liz Brown on the morning wake-up call on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU. My show is called Higher Ground, and I believe this is hallowed ground. I'm sitting in with the best engineer at the best time on the best program on radio, period. Not WGNU radio, not AM radio, but on radio. All right, let's go back to the phone lines and talk to you listeners. And I'd like to speak with John. How you doing, sir?
Oh, great.
Big John.
Yep. Hey, you know, on his out there on holidays, you know, I don't know too many people even discuss what holidays about.
Well,
including Christmas.
I can definitely empathize with what the brother was referring to. But by the same token, I think when you make those types of statements, mm-hmm. you need to make them in an environment where it is a captive audience, but definitely a sympathetic audience, an audience where those things can be taken to heart and something can be done about
it. Right, and I don't know too many audiences like that.
Well, if here's my take on it, John. And I was just speaking with the program director here. I'm actually not sure what her title is, but she's one of the individuals who works here at the station. But I was speaking about my brother, and my brother has his faults, as we all do. But I'm not going to discuss my brother's faults in person, in public. When I tell him about his problems, when I tell him about the things that I disagree with, I tell him those things in private, in a vehement fashion, but I tell him those things in private. Right. But when I come out in public, the world sees my brother as the sterling individual that I know him to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I was having a discussion with somebody. You know, I see you like music.
Yes, sir.
And this view that, because, you know, some people could say, well, you know, we'll consider that Michael Jackson was some kind of crossover artist.
Well, that's a deceptive term,
right?
Because crossover only means that he's selling in different, or he's not selling exclusively to black people. And frankly speaking, for somebody that's selling something, I don't have a problem with him being a crossover artist.
I mean, but my point was that these white people have always liked that music.
Yes, and that's something that we need to acknowledge. From the days of segregated concerts with Ray Charles and James Brown and Sam Cooke, Sam Cooke refusing to play segregated concerts, and Ray Charles eventually refusing to play segregated concert halls. But there have always been white audiences for black music. Look at Elvis Presley.
Right.
There have always been white audiences for black music.
Right. Because, you know, you look at, they say every major city, almost everywhere in the country, you had clubs where black singers were singing, but
couldn't stay.
For white people, we weren't even allowed in the club.
Couldn't stay. I was looking at something the other day. They were doing a retrospective, I think, on Halle Berry's career. And she was acting as Dorothy Dandridge. And Dorothy Dandridge recounted how she got from the stage at one of the Las Vegas show clubs and had to go through the kitchen and outside the hotel and up the back stairs to her luxury suite where she had to eat her meal in her room. She couldn't eat in the dining room.
Right. Or you could take right here in St. Louis, Scott Droppel. Articles I read that white people used to flock to see this guy sing and play. So my point with the guy was that there is no such thing. These people have always liked our music.
And as a matter of fact, I can remember my parents recounting to me how Duke Ellington and people of that ilk used to come to St. Louis back in the day, and they couldn't stay. They would eat. There was only one restaurant in the city where they would eat. It was called the original restaurant down on Olive. Yes, sir. Because I ate there before it closed. I ate there a number of times. Yeah. But that was one of the few places where they could actually get a sit down meal. They could get sandwiches to go, but they couldn't get a sit-down meal in restaurants, even in the places where they were playing.
Right, yeah. You know, I even heard some people say, I think I might have read it somewhere, that even, you know, if you go back into country music way back into the 1800s, that black people were basically singing this, too.
Well, I mean, country, if you listen to spirituals and you listen to the field songs that slaves used to sing, man, that's all country music.
Right, yeah. My point to the guy was that they have always been crazy about our music, have been flocking to see our music for years.
The only difference is now we're getting paid for it.
Well, yeah, you're getting the money for it.
Now you're getting the money. Thanks for the call, Big John.
Okay.
Always a pleasure. How you doing today, Charles?
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, had an opportunity. I've been up pretty early this morning to experience the Christmas spirit.
Okay.
The kickoff to it.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure you saw what happened down in the Walmart stores.
What you mean as far as the crowds rushing in and everything?
Yeah, you know, just the madness.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, I call it the Christmas spirit.
That's pretty much what, well, it's actually the retail spirit. Let's call it the retail Christmas spirit because that's what it is.
Well,
I'm
going to say it's the Christmas spirit.
Okay.
Because if you can go into your Yahoo search engine or whatever you use and put in the origins of Christmas, you'll be presently surprised to find out its origins, and that once you find out who that Christmas spirit is, you would have the wisdom to step away from it for what it truly is.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, this time of year, people are going into debt.
Yes, sir.
Suicide, crime, just all manners of wickedness just seems to just flare up.
Yeah.
At a time where it's supposed to be for the birth of the Christian God, Jesus. And, of course, you do your research on that. You'll find out that this Jesus that the Christians worship is not is the son of the God in the Bible. So it takes some research and not taking people word for things.
Sure.
For you to find this information out. But just put in your search engine the origins of Christmas, and then go to Jeremiah chapter 10 and read verse 2 through 5. And you will see that the scripture also speaks of do not do what the heathen do. And what it was referring to was the Christmas tree.
Okay. Thanks for you.
Just do that research and you'll find out I'm not crazy.
And I don't think you are.
Yeah,
man.
I know it sounds nuts.
But
believe me, if you read that information, you'll find out who truly the nuts are.
Okay.
Thanks for
the insight, sir. How you doing today, Prez?
How you doing?
Prez or Prez? Prisoner?
Yeah.
What's up, sir?
How you doing?
I'm well. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
I thought that was real good of you explaining to your daughter what you told her. But how do black racism, or is it black racism, have an effect on white folks?
Honestly speaking, okay, racism is defined as the power to exercise your will against someone of another race. And I don't think we have any power to do that.
And that's the reason why I called when you said you're not being racist when you was telling your daughter, you know, explaining to your daughter.
Well, no, but what I was saying by that is that I was not telling her that that there is something that what I was showing her was not something that was legit, that was illegitimate. I was basically showing her the way things are. And by that, I'm not being racist, but I am showing her racism.
But when you say you're not being racist.
Yes, sir.
Okay. How can you be racist?
Because you can take that, you can, within the confines of the discussion with my daughter, I do have the power to influence how she thinks. I do have the power to determine what she sees and what she determines from what she sees. So by me saying I'm not being racist, I'm not trying to teach her a specific mentality. I'm showing her the facts and allowing her to make her own determinations.
Well, I think what you, in my opinion, what she was, you know, trying to explain ahead that white people, how they be racist, and not to say that you are not being racist yourself. Because that's one thing I never could understand. I used to hear black folks say black people can be racist, but I thought it took power.
What?
And the racist black folks, as they say, how do they racism have an effect on white folk? Black people don't have that kind of power.
Well, again, I can look at it. You can look at it from a systemic perspective to where black people don't have the power to do it. And when we do have the power to do it, we don't seem to exercise it, and we cannot exercise it. But by the same token, there are individual situations where power is, I will say, in flux to where you've got a large group of black. There are situations where you can be racist as a black person, because there are situations where you do have power within the confines of that situation. If you're walking down the street, if there's four black guys walking down the street and a white guy it walks down and they attack him solely because he's a white guy, that's racist, because they have the power in that situation. Now, as far as systemic power, we don't have that ability.
Well, I don't think it would be racist because they jump on a white fella. It's just because they don't like him.
No, I specified that. I qualified that. I said if they attack him because he's a white guy,
mm-hmm.
then that's racist, because the power in that situation is dictated by the number of people, the four black guys attacking one white guy. In that situation, them attacking him because he's a white man is racist.
Okay, Keith. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. Big prayers. See you later. How you doing today, XX Peter?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yes, sir.
You know, that last demonstration you given, that's a fault. That's not racist or racist.
Again, if they attack him solely because he's a white guy.
It's just plain assault.
No, I disagree.
What's the racism is a compound word. Break it down. What does it mean? When I was coming up in school, they taught me when we have a compound word and you want to find out what it defines, what its meaning is, break it down.
Okay.
And it has nothing to do about a social attitude. Nothing whatsoever. What I wanted to talk about.
Okay, hang on now. Race basically is an ascribed quality. It's not. It doesn't exist. But let's address that from a different perspective.
Well, if it doesn't exist, it's only one race on
exactly.
this planet. That's
exactly.
The human
and that's
race.
Why I said it was an ascribed quality because
so
it was made.
Where you using racism? The word racism. Now.
But
now I don't know what this new
even,
meaning
but
is.
Hang on.
Based on these.
Hang on 1 second. Even though it is an ascribed
student.
Okay.
When we came up back in the day, the way it's used now, and when you know the atmosphere and so forth exists.
Mm-hmm.
It did not apply.
Okay,
I was teaching this to a group of high schools, a U City High School, just last Monday.
I can understand that, but hang on 1 second. If we, because as you know, and as I'm about to state, language is dynamic. It changes, and specifically racism. We've already kind of agreed on, and let's at least acknowledge both that racism is an ascribed quality, but it is an accepted quality. Correct?
No, it's not accepted. I don't accept it. Maybe you do.
Okay. Society in general accepts race as a quality.
I think that the majority part of society don't even pay any attention to it. As a matter of fact, they don't. If they did, then, you know, programs like this and these discussions wouldn't go on.
Okay. I'll give you. I'll agree to that to some degree.
But anyway, what I was going to talk about, you've been talking about assimilation and multiculturalism and the melting pot theory.
Mm-hmm.
And assimilation. You know, assimilation. Multiculturalism, which, you know, sprung up in the, like, 70s and 80s and in the 90s, and I think it, you know, I noticed it to affect when we saw the African-American community started coming out with so-called ethnic-specific programs, especially in the school system as it addressed them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, African-Americans and our ancestors never did know their history. Unfortunately, like the one called the Hebrew Israelite who had an eloquent position on what it is that he was talking about, many of us did not have the opportunity nor even knew about looking in those directions like he demonstrated. But we didn't know our history. So assimilation is when those ethnic groups come in and give away their heritage, give away their history, give away their cultural identity
mm-hmm.
to assimilate in a broader society, and that is the United States of America.
Right.
Multiculturalism is when you maintain those qualities, maintain that identity, but add to whatever the project at hand in order to make it work. It's sort of like
your
slang term, a salad bowl. You have a pickle is a pickle, an onion is an onion, mm-hmm. a lettuce is lettuce, but it all comes together to produce a salad.
Okay,
and it never loses its identity.
But given that analogy, and again, that's multiculturalism. Given that analogy, the salad still, the lettuce, the onion, the tomato, they still each maintain their own individual qualities, just as the ethnic groups would maintain their own. They would meld into society, but they would still maintain their own ethnic and individual qualities.
Well, in a melting pot, that metaphor is designed, whereas it's heterogeneous, where they're combined as to lose their discrete identity and not yield to help the final product like you see in multicultural. Now, I think they always, well, first place, melting pot would never apply to Africans.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's something, but the multiculturalism effect, rather than having a race, not a race, but an ethnic specific program,
mm-hmm.
I think black people, African America, those who want to participate in it, because it's different between blacks and African American. We really don't define that, but
just as there's a difference between blacks and coloreds. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But I think that due to the fact that much of our history and many of our children today don't have a slightest idea about the historical content, they still need to have those specific programs. programs that's designed for them. And even, you know, if you see a lot of these court cases that's coming down that's attacking not only the affirmative action program, but also a program that's designed to try to get those ethnic groups, those members of ethnic groups that have been so historically and institutionally denied the ability to be able to associate or experience those experiences are being destroyed and struck down.
But the thing about that is that we are the only group as African Americans, and I know that you are one and I am one, but we are the only group that is clearly identifiable. So we are not going to, as far as that, as far as assimilating into society, we are going to, historically and into the future, we are going to have the most difficult task of assimilating.
Yeah,
or
we will. But you know, even look at public schools in the early on onslaught of it was the embryonic stages of public schools. What you've seen many American businesses contributing to public schools, and that was because they wanted to create a doctor and a, I guess you can say, a calm workforce that didn't have these specific identities, these specific cultural identity. They wanted someone that was just going to be calm and go along with the flow, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
And
all right.
That's another reason why some of the things I have against public schools even today.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Sure.
All right. How you doing this morning, Josephine?
Good morning, Mr. Gray.
Good morning, ma'am.
I'm glad to hear you had a nice holiday.
Thank you.
The day was wonderful, wasn't it?
It was a nice day. It was a little chilly for me. I'm a warm weather kind of guy, but it was a nice day.
Oh, it was. Well, I'm white.
Okay.
I'm Polish.
Okay.
And I'm an American.
Okay.
And proud to be so.
Me too.
Now, 62 years ago, when I first went to work, we went to a diner to work. You got 25 cents an hour.
Can you turn your radio down?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm right here.
That's okay.
I'm going there, sir.
That's okay. Take your time. We're all right.
We got 25 cents an hour.
Okay.
And when it came time to eat, you took your lunch in the kitchen. And you didn't say a word about it. You were proud to eat. Well, after that, you worked 9 hours a day. And you didn't have no holidays off, no such thing. You didn't get no holiday pay, no nothing like that.
Okay.
And they told you if the next shift didn't show up, you had to work over. So that would give you 18 hours a day. And we were tickled pink to get it, even though we were exhausted.
Okay. Where are you going with this measure?
Well, what I want to
say
is what they call discrimination.
Yes, ma'am.
I can remember when the Jewish people had big signs put in their the factories and things had big signs in their windows. Jewish people need not apply for a job.
That's pretty, but that's consistent with virtually every. It was a there were signs that said no Irish. There were signs that said no Italians. I think every ethnic group that has come across the shores of come in through Ellis Island has seen those signs. There were no Irish, no Irish, no Italian, no Germans. So it's that's consistent, and I understand that. But again, when African Americans came through, or we didn't come through Ellis Island, but when we had the opportunity, those signs existed until the 1960s.
Yeah.
So, and I won't even address the concept of work situations, because it was just implied that you did not apply.
Well, I can remember when I worked down in Virginia, when the busloads of soldiers came through, if they were black, they had to get their food outside.
Yes, ma'am.
And carry it in a white, in a box.
Yeah, my grandfather talked about that stuff.
Yes, I remember that very, very plainly.
And those things, it's remarkable how casually you recount that situation. But my grandfather, when he talked about it, it was a different look in his eye, a look that I had never seen before, and one that I never wanted to see again. But it was a different look in his eyes when he recounted those types of situations.
Well, I worked in a southern restaurant. And they talk like they got a mouthful of potatoes. And they'd always say to me, "You damn Yankee, why don't you go back where you come from?" And I'd tell them, "I don't understand you because you don't talk plainly."
Thanks for the call, Josephine.
You're welcome.
All right. This is Keith Gray sitting in for Liz Brown on the Morning Wake-Up Call on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. I will be right back after this traffic and commercial break.
diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I had the knowledge, and most importantly the discipline, to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
The Pearl, beautiful, lustrous, developed through years of hard work, patience, and the occasional grain of sand. The 30th annual Chuck Mormon Charity Christmas Party is a true pearl. Sunday, December 18th from 3 to 7 p.m. at Orlando Gardens, 8352 Watson Road in Webster Groves. Seating is limited to 500 persons. Party and dinner tickets are $10 in advance. This includes a family-style buffet, a DJ with music from Complete Music Company, and entertainment from the Sweet and Sassy Dancers and the Jerry Stretz Professional Dancers. It also includes drawings for gift box door prizes, including, appropriately, a 30th anniversary set of pearls. Donation-only tickets are just $5. Don't wait. Get your tickets from B Parks at AARP, Martha West at Gateway Hubert Wheeler School, Rita Caffey at Contemporary Living Options, or Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. The 30th Annual Chuck Norman Charity Christmas Party, Sunday, December 18th at Orlando Gardens, 8352 Watson Road in Webster Groves. Like all true pearls, something to be treasured, something not to be missed.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? It's the day after Thanksgiving, and you know what that means. The biggest sales day of the year. That's right, from 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. at Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. Wonderful sales going on. The first 25 customers get a $10 off gift card. 20-inch Sylvania flat-screen television. $89.99. Portable DVD players, $89.99. 51-inch Toshiba high-definition television sets, $899.99. 20% off of all regular price Kenmore appliances. That and so much, much, much more. You don't have to take out a bank loan to fill up your tank and go to the mall to check out a Sears right here in your neighborhood, in your community. Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. Sears, get your shop on.
Radio Free St. Louis is AM 920 WGNU. Catch us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
Next, on Mondays at 9, a visit with director Robert Greenwald on his new movie, Walmart, The High Cost of Low Prices. It takes you behind the smiley face and into the real lives of workers and families, business owners, and their communities, providing an in-depth look at the company's labor practices, poor benefits, and harsh working conditions. In addition, journalist Liza Featherstone, who wrote the book Selling Women Short, The Battle for Workers' Rights at Walmart, will also be joining us. Her book examines the historic lawsuit by 1.5 million female workers against the company and how it helped change company policies toward women. Another can't-miss episode of The Wake Up Call on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
We light this sun, we light up. Yes, sun is we light up for us now. Always hot and always not.
All right. Murder City Players. Murder City Players on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. This is Keith Gray. I'm sitting in for Liz Brown on the morning wake-up call. I'm just digging this reggae thing, man. And, again, check out Caribbean Sun Restaurant. I'm not sure who's there tonight, but they typically have musical guests on, I believe, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Man, no, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings. So go out there. Wednesday night is Ladies Night. And it's just a really cool restaurant, nice atmosphere, and there's live music on the nights that I mentioned, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and typically the Murder City Players are there, so the music that you just listened to, you can hear at the restaurant, and those guys are playing in person, and it's an awesome experience. I'm going back to the phone lines and talk to you, listeners, and let's speak with Bob. Good morning, sir.
You're not going to believe this, Mr. Gray.
I might.
One Wednesday, I was listening to the radio, mm-hmm. and this intelligent DJ said, tomorrow's my first new caller's day.
Okay.
I couldn't wait to call you because I listen to you all the time.
All right.
Something came up, and I didn't get you. Now, check this out. Then the next week, I said, you know what, I'll get him if he does it again. And then it came up, and I miss you next week. So when I was this morning, heard you on the radio, I was too happy, man.
All right.
You know what? I wanted to say, did you hear about this? We're talking about racism. Did you hear about Nat King Cole, with the velvet voice, had done a concert for all whites,
mm-hmm.
and he was on stage singing, and when he got to about the third song, the guy stood up and said, get the coon. And when he stood up and said that, a certain amount of guys, like five guys, rushed the stage.
Uh-huh.
And he fell back on the microphone, and they were beating him and getting him. Well, they had plainclothes detectives there,
uh-huh.
and they got him off of him. And it was a scheme. What they were going to do was kidnap him. Did you ever hear about that?
I had not heard that. I did hear that he got attacked once, but I didn't know that. I never got the specifics.
Right, see? And
whoa.
So, yeah, and you know what? A lot of people don't understand this. Rosa Parks, that beautiful pioneer,
mm-hmm.
they do not know that before Rosa Parks, there were two ladies before Rosa Parks,
mm-hmm.
they refused to get off the bus.
Right.
And I had noticed, but the first lady had a bad pass. So when NAACP got it, they didn't think she would be a good enough spokesperson.
Right.
So they didn't kind of.
Now, I heard about that one, but what was the second one?
The second one was another lady whose pass wasn't as bad, but they didn't think that it would be good enough. And then when Rosa came, they thought she'd be the perfect spokesperson.
Exactly.
And that's how I pursued.
Okay. Well, as far as the new caller thing, I do that every Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah, it's new caller Thursday, but now you're disqualified. You know what? I'll see if I can get you in on new caller Thursday. But, I try to get just different perspectives, man. I get a lot of the same callers, and I love the regular callers because we have some really good discussions. But I like to get some different insights, man.
Keith, what really got me, the day I was listening that Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
it was a guy called, and this guy really touched me, man, because we have more people like him. Well, first he expressed that he was a Caucasian guy, and he asked you, I know you're going to remember this because you talk about it. He said, Keith, me as a white person, what can I do to change the...
I remember that.
And that was the day, and that was, I mean, he was really, if we had more people like him, Keith, around, it would be a better place.
Honestly, I think we do have more people like him. I think there are a lot of people like him. And
right.
I come across a lot of people like him who just not necessarily want to help, but want to make the situation more tenable for everybody.
And
this situation, as TC, one of the callers, TC, and he's a regular caller, and I love talking to TC, but as TC stated earlier, man, if we had a more heterogeneous society as far as different levels and different people at those levels, this would be a better this would be America,
goodness.
man. And that, you hear people talking all the time about how they love America. I love America, but I love the concept of America more than I love where it is today.
Exactly.
I love the idea that America, the potential that America has. That's the America I love. And as Thomas Jefferson said, dissension is the best form of patriotism.
Right.
If you don't believe in something, and specifically the way things are going now, if something is garbage and you don't address it, then I don't think you can call yourself a true American.
Right. You're right about that too. And did you hear about the news? What was that president that he had five black babies by one of his slaves?
What is it now?
The president, was it Thomas Jefferson? Or
I'm not certain, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, but
he had
five black children, and what happened is right now today in the 2000s,
the
year 2000, they're trying to, their families are fighting because they want to bury the descendants with the president's descendants, and their families are saying, no, we don't want it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And also, you know, there will be financial considerations if things go the way that these people want them to go.
Right. Mr. Gray.
Thanks for the call,
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Bye-bye.
How you doing today, Mildred?
Good morning, Keith. How are you feeling?
I'm outstanding. How about yourself, man?
I'm fine.
Great.
Keith, I appreciate your presence on this program this morning.
Well, thank you.
You
I take that
so
as,
much common sense.
I take that as a compliment. I've expressed this thought. I feel like I'm on hallowed ground. This is the place for someone with any type of conviction to be. Thank you for the call.
Okay, I want to go back to your last hour.
Yes, ma'am.
In reference to the discussion about Thanksgiving.
Yes, ma'am.
Keith, there are not enough Thanksgiving tributes to go on all day. Unless they are repeated hour after hour, and we would get bored.
Indeed.
Now, I believe that Chuck Norman, and I've heard this too, divides such a day-long presentation of music
mm-hmm.
in the absence of his employees who were given time off for a holiday. Most people, I believe, appreciate the big band music that they and their children are able to enjoy today on WGNU.
Yes, ma'am.
We remember Chuck Norman, for he used to be a disc jockey and played many of these songs, for his wisdom in doing this for the public. And I don't believe special holidays play a great part in these musical presentations. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you, Mildred.
You're welcome.
All right. How you doing today, George?
Good morning, man. How are you today?
I'm great.
I hope you didn't overdo it yesterday.
Nah, I'm cool. I'm cool. I have a tendency. I eat all the time anyway, so overdoing it for me, I'd probably be dead because I eat constantly, man.
You know, I'm beginning to believe from listening to your program this morning.
Mm-hmm.
There's an osmosis out here, whatever you want to call it, where, you know, discussions go along and the discussion you're having today was the one we had last night after dinner,
mm-hmm,
among some of the family members.
And I love those conversations.
Oh, I do too.
Yes, sir.
Because, you know, we get to understand each other a little better during those kinds of discussions. But one of the things we were discussing, and I honestly believe this, that we are victims of our culture, which is English. And if you look around the globe and see every place the English have been,
mm-hmm,
from Australia to South Africa to here and everywhere, the same problems exist.
Yeah.
All right. Now, we can't escape that culture because, for instance, if the United States had been, say, occupied by people from the Norwegian or Sweden or up north, like Leif Erikson and them people,
right,
this country would look altogether different.
I think so.
We would be talking about different things. We would be thinking about different things. See, the English people is the one that coined this racism. All right. They went around the world and they packed racism,
mm-hmm,
based on that aristocracy, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And they have fought with their own neighbors, France and Spain and Germany, and eventually, you know, look what's happening with us now. Those are our best friends.
Yeah.
You know, but we can't escape our culture. My grandmother never went to school a day in her life.
Uh-huh.
She was 90 years old when she passed.
Okay.
She didn't have a bone in her body that was, I would consider racist.
Okay.
Because she hadn't learned how to be that. She didn't go to college. She didn't even go to grammar school.
Okay.
So she was a pure human being.
I think that, you know, you made a good point there. I think it is definitely something that is endemic to the culture.
It is.
I would definitely
agree.
I think racism is absolutely endemic to this culture. And it may exist. It does exist in other cultures, of course. But I think this country, and again, I speak to the fact that America has so much potential, the things that America could be. That's one of the things that needs to be excised from American society.
Let's take, for instance, what was happening in France the other day, right?
Mm-hmm.
When the kids was out there burning the cars and rioting and whatever, you know, and the French president come out and said, well, you know, we're not going out there and act heavy-handed with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the first thing an English person will say, we went out there and shot them.
Yeah.
You know, I think you should go out and kill them. You know, out there burning a car. You know, that's the culture telling you
again,
that. That's not the person.
Exactly.
All right,
surprise.
Thank you.
Thanks, Big George.
Mm-hmm.
How you doing today, Rashad?
Just fine. How you doing, Keith?
All right. Kick some knowledge, man.
Good. I just wanted to make two quick points.
Okay.
In regards to racism, sorry.
Okay.
I believe that... point number one, first of all, black people can be racist. I'll show that.
Yeah.
And also, those that are racist, whether they're black or white, they're superstitious.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll start with an analogy.
Okay.
If Adolf Hitler or Bull Connor or J.B. Stoner, who was the leader of the Ku Klux Klan,
right,
if they were shot up to the moon or put 20,000 leagues beneath the sea and deposed, take all their power taken away, they would still be racist.
Okay.
Power is not a prerequisite. I mean, that's the dictionary term. I don't accept that.
Okay.
Power is not a prerequisite for being a racist. I have personal experience. I metamorphosed similar to Wade Malcolm. We're trying to metamorphose. I used to be a racist. Many people can't testify to that.
Okay.
But I used to believe that white people were devils by nature. Even the ones that were not born, they were devils by nature.
Okay.
I was able to metamorphose the same way Malcolm was trying to metamorphose, and seeing that I was actually superstitious and believing that. And point number two, there's a book titled The Survival of the Prettiest, if you would get that. and I'll show how the it shows how people are superstitious.
I'm sorry, survival of the what?
The survival of the prettiest.
The prettiest. Okay.
Melanin, for example, melanin in our skin is a sunscreen, and the highest incidence of skin cancer you will find among Europeans or the British who have migrated to Australia, and they become victims of the sun. But not having melanin also is a cultural advantage in areas where the sun is not up all of the time,
right.
Or the lesser degree in Europe, for example.
Right.
In other words, when sunlight on the skin turns sunlight on the sunlight into vitamin D.
Okay.
So it's a cultural advantage to those Europeans not to have melanin in places where the sun is not up as much as it is around the equator. In other words, my point is God is scientific. We are superstitious.
There
I just wanted to make those comments.
Okay.
I'm listening to you.
Thanks for the insight, Rashad.
Sure.
All right. Karen, how are you this morning, ma'am?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to make a comment. I heard somebody talking about Thanksgiving, you know, and everybody's carving their turkeys and so on and so forth. This is my second year, and I went out, and I made about 30 dinners to take out to the homeless. I went to the north side of St. Louis and on the east side. And what struck me, the sad part about it, I say that these people have families.
Yes, ma'am.
And everybody's talking about Thanksgiving. How can you have a Thanksgiving and you invited some members of your family, but everybody ain't there giving Thanksgiving? What type of Thanksgiving is that?
It's not one, ma'am.
You know, so
and I would just like to say that is magnificent that you took dinners out to people.
But you know that's okay. But for me and people need to think about this for the listening audience.
Mm-hmm.
That family member you got not just on a Thanksgiving. Go find your family member.
Yes, ma'am.
They out there cold. They hungry. They confused. And they alone.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. All right, this is Keith Gray on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, sitting in for Liz Brown on the morning wake-up call. I'll be right back after this traffic and commercial break. Thanks again, Karen, for the call.
Nobody can tell me I'm super than the tigers of India. And California wildfire, when people see me coming.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline London. Researchers say they have made a huge medical breakthrough with the development of an antiviral cream women can use before having sexual intercourse. The cream is called a microbicide and works through a new science called RNA interference. It's designed to provide protection against contracting HIV and herpes for several days after having sex. Tests on lab mice indicated the cream does work and is not shown to produce any side effects. Human trials may take place within 2 years. Molecules of RNA have been engineered to interfere with key genes of the herpes virus. The cream gets absorbed into the reproductive tract and could provide an antiviral environment that could last for several weeks in humans. Research is continuing to produce RNA molecules that will block the key genes of HIV. And Dateline Amsterdam. The issue of secret detention centers is beginning to flare into an international concern. The Netherlands has now gone on record telling Washington that if it continues to keep silent on reports of secret prisons in Eastern Europe, it could have a curtailing effect on Dutch contributions to American-led military missions. Foreign Minister Benjamin Bott told the Dutch parliament this week that the U.S. needs to stop hiding it because it's all going to come out sooner or later. He said the Dutch government strongly supports the fair treatment of prisoners in accordance with the Geneva Conventions. The Prime Minister of Poland says his government is looking into rumors about secret CIA interrogation centers set up in his country. A government official in Romania has acknowledged that such centers have existed there, but they've now been removed. The CIA is said to have operated a number of secret detention centers in Eastern Europe, Afghanistan, Thailand, and other places in order to get around American laws designed to protect the rights of detainees, especially with the use of torture methods. Planes used by the CIA have been spotted flying into and out of a number of European and Middle Eastern airports. This is your wake-up call, global news update.
Akbar Electric, commercial, industrial, residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568.
Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call, 382-2568.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle, Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
Tuesday morning on the Wake Up Call, we have an interesting racial discrimination case we're going to look at. It seems that an African-American entrepreneur by the name of John McDonald owned and operated a Domino's Pizza franchise in Las Vegas. When the annual conference of franchisees was held, he was the only black face in the place. Shortly thereafter, the parent corporation decided to terminate a multi-year franchise agreement Mr. McDonald had signed with Domino's. This has damaged him financially, and he says it's for no other reason than because he's black. The case is soon to be heard by the Supreme Court. Was Domino's thinking that a guy named McDonald had to be white? You'll hear this interesting situation presented Tuesday morning at 8, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Alright, welcome back, WGNU listeners. This is Keith Gray on the final showdown for the Wake Up Call. 5 minutes on the Wake Up Call. This is Keith Gray. I'm going back to the phone lines real quick. Did you hear the Murder City Police? Let's go back to the phone line and talk to this person. How are you? Hello?
Hello.
Hello, ma'am.
Oh, am I on Keith?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I've been listening to you for a while, too, but I wasn't able to call on Thursday.
Okay.
I'm really interested because I've been an educator in African American studies for about 35 years.
Okay.
And so I'm listening to the definitions that people have been given. Nobody has used the word prejudice, you know, in this discussion.
Concerning racism?
There are distinctions between racism and prejudice.
Okay.
And they're being used interchangeably.
Okay.
And you gave a definition, and we need to base it on our scholars. It's not just a dictionary definition. It's the definition of Carter G. Woodson and John Hope Franklin.
Okay.
And many, many scholars of our own. Dr. Frances Cress Welsing.
Okay.
Talks about racism in her works. So we need to really go to our scholars. They have defined it. And it's closer to what you have said, to possess power. It's an institutional thing, and it's a thing where power is exercised over other people in every aspect of life. So,
I think we should also define and acknowledge that there is systemic racism and that there is just situational racism. And I think that both exist. But I think that as far as systemic racism occurs, or as it exists, I don't think African-American people have the power to be systemically racist.
Well, what I'm saying, Keith, is that, like you were saying, some people have positions, individual positions. They
yes,
may
ma'am.
Exercise prejudice, but racism is a systemic thing.
Okay.
Now, individuals can exercise their racist attitudes. It does not change because the individual exercises it, or you know, the government does it, or a corporate entity does it.
Okay.
It's still, the racism emanates from those set of principles and beliefs about the superiority and the power of a group of people over another group of people.
Okay. Okay.
And the individuals may exercise racist behavior, but it's coming from the institutionalization of it,
okay.
of racist attitudes and beliefs and principles.
Okay.
So
okay.
I just needed to define that for the audience, and they really do need to really study what our scholars have said historically about and the definition of racism and distinguish it from prejudice.
Okay.
Because when you were talking to your daughter can be, she can be prejudiced.
Indeed.
You know, as an individual, you can be prejudiced.
Okay.
But
and
the
that's,
power.
Okay, I see what you mean.
The HR person in the company, corporate company, and you exercise your racist attitudes and beliefs based on emanating from an institutional racist society, that it's still racism
okay.
being exercised because you have the power to do that. So that one company could not have an African-American person in a certain job for 50 years.
And that's
you know,
the distinction.
Because that attitude of racism is still there in that company and the institutionalization in the corporate world and elsewhere.
All right. Thanks for the insight
there. So people need to really understand that, and they use the word interchangeably. They need to study the true definition of racism as defined by our scholars, not other people and not the dictionary.
And thanks for the insight. All right. This is Keith Gray on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920. Orlando, you're going to take us home. How are you doing today, sir?
Good. How are you this morning?
I'm good.
I hear you speaking with a lot of knowledge, but I don't really hear on the topic of racism, the Dred Scott decision, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yes, sir.
Okay. It states clearly from the Chief Justice of the United States
mm-hmm.
that a perpetual and impassable barrier was intended to be erected between the white race and the one which they had reduced to slavery.
Okay.
Okay. Why is it that we don't understand that when these men get together and swear on the Bible to uphold the Constitution, okay, this is why we still have racism, and no one wants to deal with that.
Good point. Thanks for clearing that. And this is Keith Gray on Radio Free St. Louis, sitting in for Liz Brown on the Morning Wake Up Call. I'll be back Monday from 1 to 2. Thank you, and see you then.
Right here, yes. This is not my lucky day. All of my friends, they are going away. Yes, this is my unlucky day. It's gonna be dread, but I'm staying right here. When I ask them the reason why, say they never get their own desire. And even though it hurt me so, say that they still got to get on the road. Is there a mix? I don't know about all my friends take a different direction.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daniela Bellotta. It's Black Friday and tempers flare at Walmarts across the country after the retailer runs out of the most sought-after items.
Kicking and pushing and shoving kicked off the holiday shopping season at the Walmart in South Philadelphia. Valerie Nixon was among those early birds who says she comes every year.
I love it. It's a ritual with me. I get a rush every time I come down here. I love coming down here. This is every year for the last 7 years.